designating the cartels and other organizations to be foreign terrorist organizations.
That's a big one.
Yes, sir.
People have wanted to do this for years. So they are now designated as terrorist organizations, foreign. And Mexico probably doesn't want that. But we have to do what's right.
Their influence reaches right up into DHS all the way to Congress. There are so many people on the payroll, I'm told, after my visit down to the border. It's frightening.
American officials on the payroll of Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah.
This is what they hope the public never figures out. This is the real evil that Trump has shut down. That's real. And that's a win. And we should take the good things Trump is able to do and celebrate those. And when he goes the wrong direction, put pressure on him, he's going to go back the right way. I'm not black-pilled. I'm not white-pilled. I'm victory-pilled. I'm reality-pilled. I'm engaged.
My organization, ODNI, our national counterterrorism team, we're playing an integral role in this in establishing for the first time a national intelligence fusion cell. Why this matters is because it allows us to take the intelligence that we're collecting, foreign intelligence. It allows us to work with our federal, state, and local law enforcement, those who have their boots on the ground, on the front lines of this operation, to make sure that we're getting real-time intelligence and information going.
How do you know that your partners in Mexico are truly partners when we know that Claudia Sheinbaum, for example, is an ally of Nicolas Maduro? It's every action she's done in the last few months proves that.
It's a legitimate question, of course. This is something where we're looking at how we can vet as much as possible, both with the information that we have available, but also through the relationship building that is going on at the lowest level.
Much to the chagrin of a whole abhorrent industry of child trafficking that prospered from the open border policies of the Biden administration for 4 years, 2021, 22, 23, and 24, much to the chagrin of these people that made bank, man. We're coming after them. And this executive branch is building criminal files. So I hope they're watching, and I hope they're frightened, and I hope they're getting their affairs in order, hiring their liberal attorneys to defend them. Starting to shuffle their money around. We'll find it.
A cartel banner was discovered in Los Cabos, Baja California Sur, reportedly signed by La Chapiza, a fraction of the Sinaloa cartel linked to Los Chapos. The message, which was quickly removed by the authorities, contained direct threats aimed to U.S. officials and American citizens residing in the area. According to preliminary information, the banner specifically named FBI Director Cash Patel, the President of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, and Mexico Security Chief Omar Garcia Harfuch. The text warned of a wave of violence against American tourists in retaliation for the seizure of several illicit shipments in recent days. The message further stated that every American citizen who resides in Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo, it is being targeted, declaring, "We are the ones who call the shots, and we are the ones in charge." Authorities removed the banner swiftly to prevent widespread panic among the local community and the large American population living in Los Cabos. If it is confirmed, this will be the mark of the first publicly posted cartel threat against FBI Director Cash Patel on Mexican soil by the organized crime and the cartel.
The arrest of a Sinaloa cartel boss, El Plato, another dangerous Sinaloa cartel member responsible for tracking a huge amounts of cocaine. The arrest of a CJNG cartel affiliated baby trafficker called La Diabla. Her whole money-making operation was centered around luring pregnant women, performing illegal C-sections, harvesting organs, and selling newborn babies.
And they'd be handing Hispanic babies to Eastern European men, African black men who couldn't even speak English. And it turned out, of course, upwards of 80% were not their families, weren't even their same culture. And yeah, this is CIA contractors smuggling kids. I mean, look at this little girl. My God.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. I know we say it often. Well, I say it often. We have a packed house today, but we really do have a packed house, and I'm excited that you're joining us because big things are happening here in the United States, and we've been following those things, of course. And we got something going on across the pond that I wanted to make sure we paid attention to. So the lineup for today's show is quite exciting for me, at least. We have Sammy Woodhouse joining the program now. Sammy is a survivor of the Pakistani gangs that have been going around the UK and sexually assaulting young girls. Now, she was one of the first to blow the whistle on all of this. And she actually did conceive a child out of rape. And she was one of the women who was sounding the alarms regarding how the British government was actually giving parental rights to rapists. So she's going to be with us today because there's big news in the UK regarding that. She's been fighting this battle for years now. And finally, there is a victory in Sammy's way right now, heading her way right now. They have since decided to change course, of course, but she's an incredible woman, and it's going to be great to have a discussion with her. I'll also be joined by Matthew Marsden as well. As many of you know, he's an incredible actor who was completely tossed out of Hollywood because he is conservative, and so he's going to join us today to give us his hot takes on several big topics coming your way. Also, I'll be joined by Alex Rosen today in studio because he has a big announcement that he's making in regards to his friends who have suddenly been arrested and extradited. It's an outrageous story, one that I've actually reached out for comment on, and I have not heard back from the prosecutors in all of this, so you're going to want to stay for that one as well. And then we'll be joined by Congressman Andy Ogles. Andy Ogles is a congressman from the great state of Tennessee, and he wants to make sure we take back Zoe Ramadani's citizenship. He has moved forward on that, and he is trying his very best to push for that, and so he'll be joining the show as well today to discuss all things related to that. He's upset because obviously, you know, we talked about on this program, Zoe Ramadani lied about his ties. He decided not to include it when he was trying to get citizenship, and he did in 2018, but he didn't detail his ties to the socialist movement here in the United States, which as many of you know is a communist movement, and that is against the rules. And so he is the one who's pushing forward to try to get him his citizenship pulled. So I kind of want to talk to him about that. I've got a lot of questions. I don't know how realistic it is. I'm going to ask him just that. I've also reached out to sources, and I've got an update on that as well. So we've got a lot underway today on American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining me, of course. A lot else happening. President Trump is in Asia, and he has been going around. He's gotten quite the deals. He's stacking them up at this point. He obviously did that just yesterday in Tokyo, and he just recently departed Tokyo. They're about 12 hours ahead of us, so there's a bit of a difference in time zones right now. But President Trump is now heading to South Korea, and he's going to be there for a bit. He's supposed to meet with the CCP leader on Thursday in South Korea, of course. But President Trump is expected to arrive in South Korea around 10:40 a.m. Eastern time today. So we're following President Trump as he makes his way all across the region, and he is cutting these massive, massive deals. Now, let's highlight some of the things that he's done thus far, because it's important to do just that. Yesterday, while the rest of us were sleeping, President Trump was working in Japan, and he decided to greet their new prime minister. In clip one, you're going to hear the warm welcoming he gave the new PM, but also his condolences that he's issuing to his former friend who was assassinated. Take a listen.
thank you very much, and I want to congratulate you. As you know, Shinzo Abe was a great friend of mine, and I was very saddened to see what happened. It was so shocking, but he spoke so well of you, even before we knew what was going to happen and your ascension. He spoke so well of you long before we met, and I'm not surprised to see that you are now the Prime Minister, and he would be very happy to know that, and I congratulate you on behalf of the United States of America.
Now, again, President Trump is meeting. That Prime Minister, actually, by the way, was just recently elected. I believe it was about 2 weeks ago, a little less than 2 weeks ago. So she's brand new to the seat, and she's conservative and apparently likes metal. So that's a win for Japan. But folks, we've been, you know, keeping our eye on President Trump as he makes his way through Asia, and he's working on a lot of rare earth mineral deals, which is great because it kind of reduces our reliance on China. He just scored another one in Japan, and he's been doing this throughout the week. So this is actually very, very impressive. So he signed an agreement. The ink is dry, and it looks like for when it comes to rare earth minerals and critical minerals, we will now be doing business with Japan, which is very, very interesting. But President Trump staying busy in Asia, doing incredible work, fighting for the American people, making sure we are a top priority. And we're thankful for just that. Now let's shift gears a little bit, because obviously our government is still shut down. I think we're like day 28, something like that. The clock just keeps going up, keeps going up. But it doesn't look like we're getting anywhere anytime soon. Okay, so we're on day 27. We're working our way up. When you look at Speaker Mike Johnson, he has been pretty much kind of calling it out, saying that the left is looking to meet him in back rooms, which sounds a little sketchy, meet him in back rooms to cut deals. And he's just not having it anymore. In clip two, he says that about Chuck Schumer as well. Take a listen.
Again, in healthcare, you will improve its quality and you will bring down its cost. All of these are important components of that. And we have a lot of work to do, but it is not a simple thing. And I am not going to go in a back room with Chuck Schumer, like he keeps demanding, with four people and make this decision. I will not do it. It's not appropriate. It's not right. It's too complicated for that. We need all the members to have buy-in. We need to have these healthy debates and discussions. But we can't do it while they're shutting the government down to appease the Marxists. That's it. That should be your headline. I want to.
So that's what he's saying at this point. He thinks that Chuck Schumer is trying to get him into backdoor meetings, and he's trying to cut deals, and he's trying to slip in things that would make it not clean anymore. The reality is they're holding this country hostage, and we're now on day 27 because, well, their illegal invaders are not getting free health care. But when it comes to all things related to the shutdown, there's a couple of Republicans calling out their buddies across the aisle. Steve Scalise is doing just that because, well, there's a senator right now who is trying his very best to justify the shutdown, but he has a long history of advocating for the exact opposite. Take a listen to clip three.
Senator Gallego went on to meet the press. And he was asked when Democrats would reopen the government. And he said, quote, "I'm not looking at a timetable. I'm looking at everyone's personal pocketbooks." Now, Senator Gallego, you ought to be looking at the pocketbooks of those single moms who right now are facing losing their WIC payments, facing losing their SNAP payments. And if Senator Gallego's not sure how many people that is, we've been told by the administration how many people will stand to lose real benefits, SNAP benefits, food stamps for kids. 42 million people will lose those benefits in just a few days. Senator Gallego, look at their pocketbooks.
Now, if you ask Gallego what he thinks about all of this, he really doesn't care. Take a listen to clip four.
If Republicans shut down the government next time Democrats are in charge to extract whatever it
like
is
the last
they happen
times.
To want, is that, are you saying that's okay? Are you saying that's okay if they do that?
I mean, the Republicans have done this quite a while, yes.
What did you say about it when they did it?
I don't know, and I don't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Well, good thing Twitter has its receipts. I mean, we've just pulled some of those. Take a look at this. This tweet from back in 2013. It goes all the way back, obviously. Only in a Tea Party America can you shut down the government and destroy the economy and still claim to be a patriot. That was 2013, of course. In 2019, he also was going after and trying to advocate against a shutdown, saying that TSA agents, FDA, food inspectors, air traffic controllers are working without pay. Soon many will quit to find that pay jobs that pay the bills, obviously. This shutdown is putting the country in danger. And then there's another one from 2023, of course. Men and women in uniform struggle to buy groceries and pay rent. It's time for the GOP to put the country before party and end this reckless behavior. Ah, so he wasn't for shutdowns before, but now he doesn't care. Now he's all in on shutting in the government because, well, you have to hold the country hostage. And all those people you've pretended to care about, you know, the TSA agents, the FDA food inspectors, the air traffic controllers, that was when he cared about them. Not so much anymore. In fact, back in 2019, he cared. 2025, you're just a bargaining chip at this point. Suck it up, Buttercup. They don't really give a damn. And they're letting you know that they don't care. I mean, he clearly just told you that he doesn't care. You see, members of our military are now being paid thanks to a donor. But obviously, that money's going to dry up soon. So they're probably going to try to hold out for as long as they can. That is what the left does. And they tell you they care about government employees, but when they're given the opportunity to prove just that, they don't want to take you up on it. No. They don't authentically care. And that's the real issue here. The real issue here is that they pretend to care. And then when they need them to push forward their new voter base, which is illegal aliens, they sacrifice them. So that's what's going on right now. We're on day 27 of lockdowns. These people are really just continuing to push all of this. Again, average Americans probably don't care for this. But if you are a government employee or you have a family member who's in service, you probably do care. You probably do care. And so, we're just sitting by and waiting. I have not heard about any side willing to move to the middle on any of this. But folks, this is what's happening right now. Our federal government's being held hostage by individuals who are just looking to advance their political agenda. I want to turn to a story that broke yesterday from Bill Mnuchin on Twitter. According to four sources that he spoke with, DHS and the Trump administration's ICE agents, or ICE, I should say, are doing some purging. They are in the process of changing up leadership at ICE. Up to 12 ICE field offices are removing and reassigning a lot of their top individuals. It's an effort being taken underway, obviously, by Trump 2.0, the second administration. It's being led, according to him, by Corey Lewandowski. And they're looking to replace a lot of these individuals. Now, this is interesting because when you look at the field offices, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Philadelphia, Denver, El Paso, San Diego, Seattle, Portland, and New Orleans. Those are some of the ones that are currently removing their ICE field office directors. Now, when DHS was asked about this, DHS didn't really give a direct comment. They didn't say no. They just said they don't have any official statements to make on personnel matters as of right now. Now, apparently, according to Bill, there's been a lot of internal feuding between DHS and ICE. And it's been a shift around. Because a lot of the times, too, I've heard this from sources that there's a bit of a... They're a little disgruntled when it comes to who handles what. And so ICE and Customs and Border Patrol do push back and forth on a lot of issues. And so that is what's going on here, it looks like. Now, again, there's no official comment on all of this. This is just a source, four sources that have spoken to Bill Mnuchin. The focus is obviously to drive up those deportation numbers. So that's interesting. That's an interesting change in pace. Again, there's a lot of changes that are going to be made, and it needs to happen. It's going to slowly happen, of course. Under the administration, USBP emphasizes broad enforcement, including high-profile tactics, controversial tactics, which they're looking to implement. These target spots are Home Depot parking lots, car washes, flea markets. Viral videos obviously are showing just that, according to his report. Now, again, there's been a lot of backlash for it, but I don't see an issue with it. Then I saw this really interesting report that I want to bring to your attention, folks, because I looked over and I saw that President Trump was, obviously he's working a lot of deals in Asia. Hyundai was a company that's based in Georgia. They have They have a plant in Georgia that was raided. Remember we told you about the ICE raid? Well, they're also big donors. They donated, I believe, over $1 million, according to the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal, to Trump's inauguration. They also have invested $26 billion in the United States since President Trump came back into the White House. Now, interesting enough, like I told you, back in Georgia, there was a bunch of these individuals who were actually illegal aliens working at the car plant. And so there was an ICE raid that was conducted. Now, remember, I told you all about this. I actually reached out to the company, the car manufacturer, specifically to get their details on this. But ICE ended up rounding up 475 employees at this plant back on September 4th. It was the largest single site operation in the department's history. Now, a lot of those individuals were sent back to South Korea because that's where they came from. But President Trump apparently not happy with that, which is kind of insane. According to reports, he said, you know how I feel. I was very much opposed when you referred to that raid. Now, again, the president saying that he was very much opposed to that ICE raid that happened last month. Now, if they're working this country illegally and they're working for a company that even though they donated to you, why are we sitting here and pretending like they should somehow, some way be exempt from ICE raids? Were they not employing 475 illegal aliens? And what were the working conditions for them? Were they being paid a fair wage or were they paying cheap labor? These are all legitimate questions, and it's quite concerning that the president said that he was opposed to that ICE raid. You see, Americans voted for all illegal aliens to be deported. We didn't select an exemption for those who have donated to President Trump, companies that have made investments in this company or in this country. We didn't support that. We didn't vote for that. And so again, it's quite the head scratcher when you look at the fact that obviously this automaker has donated $1 million to President Trump's inauguration and invested another $26 billion in investments. So I don't know what President Trump's fired up about on that front. What did you oppose? See, this is the problem. I really would have wished to have a follow-up on that one because, folks, we need to know specifics on all of this. Because obviously now he's in the region. Now he's going to say, oh, I opposed it because he's cutting deals. But why? And I'd like to hear if there was any ICE agents that were retaliated against for doing just that. There's a story that we're going to continue to follow as he makes his way through Asia, of course. But I just thought that was really kind of jarring that he made that claim. I'm going to turn to something else because this was also big news that dropped yesterday. Paul Ingrazia has filed a lawsuit for $150 million. That's going against Politico. Now, interesting enough, folks, we broke this story yesterday when I saw the letter go out. And Paul, for those of you that are unfamiliar with Paul, we talked about him last week on this program because Paul was President Trump's nominee to head the Office of Special Counsel. Now, he was supposed to go after new oversights. And he didn't have the votes. He didn't have the votes to get confirmed. And so he had to pull his nomination. And he did that himself. But Paul was the victim of a well-orchestrated hit piece that was dropped in Politico. It accused him of a lot of things. It accused him of being anti-Semitic. There was also another allegation, which he's outlining, of being accused of sexual harassment. He's citing Daniel Lippmann's report. Now, this was released, obviously, on October 9th. Again, we talked about it on this show. And it's interesting because he's now suing for defamation for $150 million. Now, I actually just went to the website where that link was, where that story was. And surprise, surprise, it's been actually pulled down. We're sorry, but that page cannot be found. Now, that's interesting. Probably should, you know, inform them that it's been removed. So here's the thing. when we look at the article that's cited in the letter that was released by Paul's legal team, that article has since been taken down. It accused him of sexual harassment. That's the main one they're going after. Paul's legal team is saying Paul has never sexually harassed anyone, full stop. And now he's going after them. He's suing for $150 million, and rightfully so. You know, we always see these baseless claims that are made against individuals. Baseless claims that are made against individuals. And there's nothing that they could do to fight back. And this is the problem. Throughout the entire confirmation process, you know, people like Paul were unable to defend themselves. They're in fact, I know they do this to many of these people. They tell you not to defend yourself. It's the reason why when they were attacking Pete Hegseth and making up lies about him, I jumped in. I normally wouldn't because I just don't see a need to on most occasions, but I normally stay out of it. But I jumped into this one because it was very clear to me that Pete Hegseth was the target of a political hit job. And as somebody who worked at Fox and literally received like a list of names of guys to avoid, Pete Hegseth was never on that list. So everything that they were accusing him of publicly, I knew was garbage. But I had also done a couple of Fox and Friends shows in the morning. And so it's not really surprising that this is what's going on. This is the type of nonsense that they're up to. And I'm going to post this for you guys on X2 to prove that this was just taken down. It's pretty wild that they could sit here and post this type of lies and then they quickly yank it down because they just destroyed him. I mean, he didn't get confirmed for the job because people like, according to my sources, Senator Rick Scott did not want to confirm him. Rick Scott was the first one to throw his hands up and say no thank you, and then others followed out of fear. I'm told two others did as well. So again, folks, I mean, this is what's going on right now. Our rhinos are too gutless to push back. Why did Politico just erase that story? It's gone. I just clicked it. It's gone. Whatever link they just linked to in their letter is gone. Did you guys pull that off of the political website or did that get pulled right off the... Okay, so then maybe they have the wrong link on here. Because the link that's involved in this letter that was sent out, when you just click onto it, it says we cannot find this page. So it's really just interesting. Well, I'll reach out to Politico for comment on that because I think it's quite fascinating. Maybe they changed it and that's the reason why the link is no longer active. That one that was in their page was in their letter that they put out last night. And again, that letter that I just cited comes from Paul's legal team. So that letter is gone. And also reach out to Paul's team as well for a comment on that. Folks, we've got a ton of stuff to talk about when we come back. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesapp.com. Download the app if you haven't done so already. It's the best way to stay in contact with us. And when you do just that, you're going to get 20% off. It's a promo code that you could use over at thealexjonesstore.com as well. And you can only get it when you download the app. So if you want to stay in touch with us, be on this information war, you got to head on over right now, alexjonesapp.com.
Said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors or most of them and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true. Because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the show. We're excited to have you all on board today. A lot happening around the country. We've got a lot happening on the show today. Sammy Woodhouse will be joining us later on the program. We're excited to have her on the show because there's big news in the UK regarding the grooming gangs. Well, the good news is Sammy has been fighting against this. She was a victim of the grooming gangs, one of the original individuals who came forward and blew the whistle on all of this. And she, sadly, I mean, she obviously being a victim in all of this, she could see the child. And as awful as it was, I spoke to Sammy, it had to be over a year ago. They were trying to grant her rapist parental rights, and they were trying to force her to bring her child, obviously conceived out of rape, to the prison where he's serving 35 years for the sexual assault. And she has fought this battle for many, many years now. And she was just handed a massive victory. So she'll be joining the show today to discuss just that, because finally there's some type of common sense on the horizon for those in the UK. We'll also be joined by Matthew Marsden as well. Alex Rosen will be joining me in the studio later today. And Congressman Andy Ogles is also joining the show as well. Andy Ogles is fighting the good fight. He is looking to have Zohran Mamdani's citizenship pulled back. He doesn't want him to be a U.S. citizen anymore, he says, because Zohran Mamdani was not being truthful when he was trying to obtain citizenship. Now, it's so crazy. I'm going to detail it too in just a bit. But Zohran Mamdani was granted citizenship, I read, back in 2018. And Louder with Crowder's Mug Club undercover team got audio saying that he was planned to be the New York City mayor. Like, he was supposed to run for New York City mayor. They were planning this back in 2014. Now, I posted that clip yesterday. It did gain a lot of attention. I will be playing it again for the congressman because this highlights a massive issue. The fact that foreigners are coming to our country, we're giving them citizenship. They hate this country. And we are just allowing them to run for office. And then we're all sitting here like, why do they want to destroy our country? This is so strange, because they didn't come here with the motivation to actually improve this country. Instead, they came here because they wanted to destroy it. And that's exactly who's funding them. So we'll break all of that down for you in just a bit. But it looks like the DOJ just made an arrest recently of an individual who's accused of trying to allegedly kill AG Pam Bondi. Now, in this, it says that the TikTok offered $45,000 to kill AG Pam Bondi. The post included a photo of Pam Bondi with a sniper scope, red dot on it, on her forehead. Captured said, wanted. And then the reward was $45,000 dead or alive, preferably dead. Now, according to them, the individual that was arrested for all this is now facing up to 5 years in prison. He's been slapped with several charges in the past, including felony stalking, felony third-degree domestic battery, and a domestic assault charge as well. But it's interesting because these are the cases that we continue to see pop up all over the place. I was just talking to a friend yesterday. She quickly sent me a death threat that she received yesterday on X. She's somebody who speaks out and reports on the threat of Islamists coming into our country. And they sent her a direct threat yesterday on X. These are happening so frequently nowadays that it's concerning, but these people know that they're going to get away with it, especially because a lot of this, I mean, this guy's here in the U.S., so they were able to obviously grab him. But the foreign individuals who are doing their best to create political discourse here in the country, but also issue these threats, knowing that it's a very slim margin that they're going to be able to go across the seas to go grab him up. It's just an ongoing issue. These people know that they can get away with it. They have gotten away with it so far. And it's just, it's infuriating. But again, our government, I really truly don't think that they take it seriously. Yeah, we've seen some arrests for threats being made to, just recently last week, there was an arrest made to an individual who allegedly threatened Laura Loomer and others. But folks, it's not happening frequently enough. And then there's also the threats, right? That's obviously a direct threat, right? When you're putting a dollar amount on Pam Bondi's head, yeah, I think that's a pretty clear illustration that you're actually threatening her. I don't think that's protected under free speech. I would argue against that, obviously. I don't think it's protected under free speech. But there's others that are kind of like a little bit more discreet that I guess is hard to pin down. But when you're literally getting death threats emailed to you and the FBI says, not enough here for us to file charges. Excuse me, what? That was the reaction I gave the FBI when I received a couple of death threats. And I was told, after they took their time with investigating it and wouldn't confirm whether or not they subpoenaed the companies that were needed to subpoena, that when I was getting death threats, that, sorry, not enough here to charge. Not enough here to charge. So it's good that they're doing this for people like Pam Bondi, and Luber actively receives death threats. And so, and they are very scary. I've seen some of them, and I sent them over to her to flag them for her, because I've seen some very scary stuff for Loomer. But I mean, it's kind of crazy where, number one, if you don't know people, like my friend reached out to me yesterday about the death threat she's receiving. I just told her, like, I don't know who you even contact. Like, my sources over at the FBI, the top people, they don't really want to talk to me anymore because I've been so critical of how they've handled these death threats. So they don't like me anymore. But when it comes to, like, how do we handle this? I don't know what to tell people anymore. They've allowed this to happen. There's very little pushback. Unless, of course, you're a member of the administration, then they seem to handle it. And they brought out Benny Johnson to announce the arrest of an individual who had threatened him. Now, the interesting part is, I know Benny Johnson was that recent threat that happened. They held a press conference, you probably recall, just a couple of weeks ago with Pam Bondi, and they announced the arrest of an individual who had threatened him and his wife and family, and rightfully so. But there were previous threats made to Benny Johnson that were never actually worked through, and nobody actually did digging into it. And he believes it was related to the swatters that I was reporting on. So they're very selective with the ones that they get to go after. Again, I was told no criminal charges for the people who went after me. But good thing that they're working on Pam Bondi's case. All right, let's turn to another story. Let's talk about how Chicago's a cesspool. Interesting new data coming out. According to the new data coming out, this is actually really depressing. Over 14,200 murders have taken place in the city of Chicago from 20, gosh, the numbers are insane, over the last 25 years. So from 2000 to October 2025. And that's according to the police data and the reports that have been gone over these last few years. Interesting enough, Chicago is one of the many areas that did receive altered crime stats. We're talking about the last 25 years, 14,200 murders have taken place in Chicago. Over 32,000 fatal, non-fatal shootings the past decade. And it's crazy because like when President Trump wants to actually bring law enforcement there, bring federal agents to help stop these insane crimes from happening. I mean, every weekend they always go, oh, it's a holiday weekend. That's why the shootings are up. Like what? Oh, it's the summertime. Shootings are going up. Yeah, everyone's outside. That's when they start shooting each other. The level of excuses they have for the violence in Chicago is pretty absurd. But they use it and they say it with a straight face. They actually don't even blink an eye. Oh yeah, crime's up. Yeah. Well, crime's up because it's warm outside. How about you just purge the filth from your society? How about you purge all of these individuals from your city? You throw them in prison, you leave them in there. How about you start implementing the death penalty for those who commit heinous crimes? How about that? You know, I think it was FBI Director Kash Patel who came out and directly said that there was over 100,000 gang members in the area of Chicago. I'm sorry, sir, what? 100,000? No wonder why it's completely turned into a cesspool. It's absolutely devastating because Chicago, again, I love it. It's a beautiful city, great restaurants, great life. But there's really no safe area. You know, the last time we were in Chicago, people were giving me like, oh, go here. It's safe. There's nothing safe. You think these gang members stay within their own community lines? No. And so it's sad. It's sad people have to live like this in this country. And it's sad because the governor, obviously Pritzker, is a scumbag, but he continues to not want any type of federal intervention. He doesn't want any assistance. And it also doesn't help that the city of Chicago continues to elect commies who are just useless and lazy. And when you look at the voting numbers too, I mean, they are not getting anyone to turn out for their elections. And so that's how people like Brandon Johnson get elected to the mayor role in Chicago. And it wasn't much better before that. I would actually say surprisingly, Johnson's been a step down from Lightfoot. So again, these are like just like an endless cycle for the city of Chicago and for those who live there. And I think it's devastating. I think it's awful. But this is the same mayor who doesn't even want you doing anything about the illegals who live in his city. No, no, no. Don't call them illegal aliens. Don't call them illegal aliens. Because if you do, it's actually racist. And it's, I mean, this is what he said just the other day. It's racist and it has to do with slavery. Makes sense when you don't think about it. That's a left for you these days. I want to turn to an update regarding Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin, the individual who's being accused of killing Kirk, Tyler Robinson. He was in court yesterday. I sat back and watched for a bit. He appeared from the Salt Lake City jail. His image was not on the screen, but it was just kind of like a normal Zoom call where it just said his name and he was apparently present. He was arguing because he doesn't want the presumption that he's a criminal if he is forced to appear in like prison clothes. And so he asked for permission to wear civilian clothes in future hearings to avoid that. That was granted, but he will appear in shackles. He didn't want to appear in shackles, and the judge has denied just that. Now, interesting enough, there's a report out right now saying that Tyler Robinson, many of you guys know, he's being accused of having a transgender lover. He's a biological man. Lance Twiggs is his name. Now, apparently, according to reports, he's gone into hiding. He's gone underground. And he's been in his St. George hometown for 6 weeks after the high-profile murder. He's refusing to speak to the media. He has abandoned his apartment, which apparently is $1,800 a month. And he's hiding. Now, again, he's not accused of any crime, so I don't think there's much there to go after him with, but it would be good to hear from him. It would be good to hear from him. So far, he's not been charged with anything, and I think that's important to highlight there. But the pictures are just so, I mean, how do you have, like, how does that turn into what has, you know, you look at these people's pictures before they are accused of committing heinous crimes, and you go, how did that turn into this? How did that young man turn into not even an attractive woman, but like a, what appears to be a woman? The illusion that they're a woman. How does that manifest? How does that happen? And it's quite strange when you look at all of this. It really, really is. I don't blame this guy for going into hiding. Again, there's really no proof that he knew about all of this, so what more can be done? But it's interesting. It truly is. Okay, there was just recently a report that came out yesterday. I think we should highlight that as well. The House Oversight Committee is giving us an update regarding the Biden cover-up and calling into question the executive orders that were allegedly signed by Joe Biden. Obviously, we know they weren't. We know that Joe Biden was never running the show. The corporate media lied to you every single day. We didn't lie to you. I didn't lie to you. InfoWars didn't lie to you. We told you he wasn't running the show. We told you he was a puppet for the deep state operatives who were really running the show behind the scenes. We knew that. We told you everything. We told you the truth. That's why the corporate media calls us conspiracy theorists. But in fact, we have a higher accuracy rate than those scumbags over there. But hear me out. Now, the House Oversight Committee is saying that dozens of President Joe Biden's executive actions cannot all be deemed his own. That is according to the new report that has just been released by the House Oversight Committee. Now, saying this is due to his advisors' efforts to support him amid his physical and cognitive decline. Biden's closest advisors went to great lengths to prop up his alleged presidency. The 91-page document shows that how the committee has relied on over dozens of interviews with Biden aides, which highlights just that. We're saying the Democrats within his inner circle staged his appearances, which we told you about, reduced his private workload, which we told you about, and prevented lawmakers from direct access to him, which we've told you about already. That's why I didn't start the show with this one, because it wasn't really breaking, because you've already known this. You're just getting confirmation that everything you've heard is true. Remember when they set up that little fake Oval Office for him? It was like what you give a child, you know, like the fake kitchens, the plastic kitchens. And you tell your kid, hey, go cook this up. Go cook in your kitchen. They gave him a little fake Oval Office to go sign papers and pretend like he was doing something. Then he had massive monitors, which were his teleprompters. There you go. Yeah, it was all fake. It was all staged. Surprise, surprise. You knew that it was fake. We all knew it was fake. I mean, remember when they would literally put the spots where Joe Biden had to stop at? Remember when they gave him a map and he accidentally flashed it over where it told him where he has to walk? And he's literally glued to his card and walking to the spot that tells him to walk to? Yeah, that happened too. The media, everyone's so puzzled. How did this happen? How did this happen? We had no idea. No, we actually knew that this was happening behind the scenes. We actually knew. We told you about it, but not everyone else. You know what's so funny too? Let me go off on this little rant here. Remember when, just like last week, when those in the corporate media were upset because I was getting credentialed by the Pentagon to go head over there to cover the Pentagon? They don't like independent journalists, so they weren't happy. They have a show on InfoWars, and they weren't happy about that either. So they decided to try to attack me, and they still are. I got an email just yesterday from another fake news reporter. But here's the thing, right? They all sat there and complied with the narrative that Joe Biden was okay and everything was okay, and don't question it. Don't criticize him. None of them criticized the fact that Joe Biden refused to take questions None of question the fact that he literally had a card that told him who to call on with their photos and their names as if he was a child. No, no, no. We were mean for calling out. We were very, very mean for calling out. And so what do we have here? Well, now what we have here is we have an administration, or sorry, we have a regime that is trying to run cover still to this day. Oh, there you go. And they even gave up their questions in advance and gave him pronouncers. I could use pronouncers. Half of the times I can't pronounce half these last names. So it'd be nice if I had that. But listen here. Listen here. They all sat there in this well-orchestrated attempt to lie to the American people and pretend like Joe Biden was okay when he wasn't. Who told you that? InfoWars told you that. The rest of them all lied to you. And they were all doing this on a regular basis. So again, this is what's happening right now, is they're all trying to run cover. In fact, they want to call us fake news. They were the fake news. They were the fake news. And now they're upset because the American people no longer trust them. They don't have an audience. In fact, everyone who's come swinging at me over these last couple of days, this is why I don't respond to them on Twitter, because they would get more from it than I would. They have like less than 20,000 X followers. How do you call yourself a mainstream media journalist and you can't pull in an audience? You have all these big platforms, New York Times, Washington Post. They have all these big platforms, but they themselves don't have an audience looking to follow their work. How do you call yourself a journalist and you don't have your own audience? That's the reason why they're so fired up and going after us. That's the reason why people like The Guardian are working on a hit piece now to go after those on the right who are now getting access into the White House and into the Pentagon. Specifically, though, they're hyper-focused in the Pentagon right now. So these are the people who come out here and they all, oh, can you jump on a call with us? We'd love to talk to you. They don't want to talk to you. They want to go after you. They want to try to destroy your credibility. In fact, they continue to call me a conspiracy theorist. You're lucky I don't sue you for that, because the reality of it is I'm a well-credentialed, awarded journalist. In fact, if I were to ask you to name one conspiracy I've ever pushed, they couldn't do so. It's a way to tarnish your reputation, but it also argued that being called a conspiracy theorist these days really gives you more credibility than anything else. And so the people who sat there and were propped up, by the way, the same Pentagon reporters who, when Lloyd Austin disappeared for days, no one knew where he was. White House didn't know where he was. They had no idea that he was having surgery. Those are the same Pentagon reporters who just kept tossing questions underhand for him. And they didn't want to ask him any of the hard questions. So yeah, you might not like my reporting. I'd say I'm pretty fair. I criticize people fairly. I'm not worried about losing my credentials, not losing access. I don't care about those things. But they're fired up. They're angry. But again, these were the same people who sat here and knew exactly what was happening during the Biden years. And they did nothing. They did nothing. Also in this report, too, it says that he sought direction from Hollywood for events like the State of the Union. So what does that mean? Does that mean he was like hiring an acting coach? Folks, the cover-up is scandalous. It truly is. And then you have people like Corinne Jean-Pierre, who have a book to sell, so she's out there peddling that. I don't think she's ever going to get anything anymore, because people know that she was lying. And that's why the corporate media is now jumping on her when she appears on their shows. They're very combative to her now. Oh, because the White House lied to us. We didn't know any of this. It's so laughable. It's so laughable that these are the same people who pretend like they didn't know what was happening over these last few years. They had no idea. Speaking of the cover-up, obviously the election in 2020 was stolen. And people like Governor Gavin Newsom are pretending to look the other way on it. In clip 16, Gavin Newsom now is playing the victim and pretending like this new administration doesn't want fair elections, his idea of fair elections. And so he's going after them for that. Take a listen.
Obviously, 2024 was a federal election, but the Biden administration said DOJ monitors to 87 different jurisdictions in that election. The California GOP put up this onto X, saying, Governor, if there's nothing to hide or nothing wrong, why the concern in having the DOJ observe? What's wrong with transparency?
Let's have the transparency of what went into their requests, allegedly, of the Department of Justice, the state GOP, and why they picked these particular five counties. And what allegations or what assertions and on what basis of fact are they asserting that there's been violations in the past? Why these counties? Why now? Why a statewide election? Very different than other federal elections or elections with candidates on the ballot. This is, again, a proposition. Good people can disagree. They'll be accommodated as everyone should be accommodated. They'll have determinations at the county level with the registrars to the extent they want to cooperate. That's up to them. I'm just arguing for people to keep their eyes wide open at what's going on in the United States of America. I said this months and months ago. What's happening in L.A., what's happened in California is a preview of things to come. Watch this space with the DOJ. This is all teen up 2026. Donald Trump does not believe in fair and free elections. He's trying to rig the 2026 election in plain and open sight, and that is obvious to anyone that's paying attention, and he's just winding up.
Yeah, they know a thing or two about rigging elections, and they are looking to continue to do just that. Gavin Newsom speaking from a level of expertise. Folks, we just got breaking news in. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, posting that now there have been 14 alleged narco terrorists killed. Just yesterday, apparently they hit four more vessels, which according to their intel were transporting drugs, carrying narcotics, which they believe were to the United States. Total of 14 narco-terrorists were killed, as according to him, during the three strikes, with only one survivor. All strikes were in international waters, with no U.S. forces harmed. We're continuing to keep our eye on that, of course. I know these are very controversial. A lot of people aren't very happy with this. They do believe that there might be some room for error in this, but obviously we're keeping our eye on that. So another 14 alleged narco-terrorists have been allegedly killed. Folks, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. There's a lot going on right now over there. Head on over. That's how you help us keep our operations up and running. And right now, methylene red is up right now. Head on over there. They're trying to fog your brain, obviously, and this is how you're going to combat all of that. Head on over if you're looking to get up the ultimate way to fight back on this brain weapon. I mean, it's amazing, folks. It's going to help clear up your mind, clear your thoughts, and it's something that we're going to have to start doing around here. I will start doing this around here. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little, coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you can have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quack, 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 wherever it is. You know, that little word, ooga chaka munga bak, woom kaka. That'd be really good.
Over on this side, and we're happy you're here. I got a lot of incredible guests joining us over the next 2 hours. Sammy Woodhouse will be joining me in a few moments. She is an incredible woman. I've spoken to her several times, and you know, she's a true fighter. She was one of sadly the many victims of the grooming gangs in the UK, but she is a fighter and she fought back, and she's not going down without a fight, and she made that very, very clear. She did conceive a child, sadly, from her attack. And it was insane when she was explaining it to me. I couldn't believe it. But ultimately, the government was trying to give her rapist, who's in prison for 35 years for what he did to her and others, they wanted to give him parental rights. They actually wanted to force Sammy to bring her child to the prison because they claimed he had parental rights. Well, Sammy is a fighter. And she fought back, and she has just been handed a major victory. And it is quite impressive to see. So she'll be joining us in just a little bit to kind of react to the latest news regarding that. We'll also be joined by Matthew Marsden as well. You guys love him. I know you love him. I see the comments on X. He is an actor who was, you know, rejected by Hollywood for his conservative values, and they pushed him out. Well, the good news is we have him here, and he's going to be joining me today on the show. There's a lot to talk about, and he's got a lot to say. He originally also is from the UK as well, so he's got a good perspective on all things related to that. Plus, Alex Rosen from Predator Poachers will be in studio in just a few moments also to be kind of sounding off about a lot of things. The big thing, though, is three of his colleagues were arrested, and they're two of them were extradited to Texas. Another one is still waiting to be extradited to Texas. But it's over their confrontation with a alleged pedophile. They literally don't even touch the guy. And for some reason, they charged all three of them. It's insane. You're not going to believe it. When I saw you the video, I've reached out to the prosecutor's office for comments. They missed the deadline. They have not commented, of course, because it's very, very clear that they're in the wrong here, and they are probably trying to save face. So we'll talk about that with Alex Rosen in just a little bit. I'll also be joined by Congressman Andy Ogles. Now, he comes from the great state of Tennessee. He is advocating for the federal government to pull the citizenship of Zohran Mahdani. That would be good. I told you guys yesterday, I just don't think it's a winning issue at this point. I think it's far too late. The election is literally days away. But I'm going to talk to the congressman about that because I want to hear his perspective. You know, I've reached out to immigration services about this. I'm looking to hear more on this front. If they think that he has violated any type of laws, if he lied to gain citizenship. But most importantly, and I think this is the key point to all of this, Zohran Mahdani, according to audio that we heard from Ladder with Crowder's team, their Mug Club undercover unit, he was planned to be the president of the mayoral, candidate back in 2014. Well, how is he allegedly going to be the candidate to run for New York City mayor when he wasn't even a U.S. citizen then? He got his citizenship, according to reports, back in 2018. So they were plotting against us back in 2014 to put hateful people like Zohran Mahdani in positions of power. That's a major issue. So I'm going to talk to the congressman about that. Also, I don't think people realize how bad this is. I've been talking about this for months now, and sadly, now everyone's jumping on now, and it's too late. But I want to talk to the congressman about something specifically. Because if he does get elected to become the mayor of New York City, does he get access to the NYPD counterterrorism division's information, their database? Well, that's a big question worth asking. And so we're going to do just that in a little bit as well. So a lot underway. Don't go anywhere. While you're waiting, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we have methylene red. You got that right. So obviously we have the blue. Now we have the red. When you pair both of them up, it is going to be incredible, bring you great clarity, and help get rid of some of your brain fog. I have a lot of those brain fog situations these days. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because, folks, this isn't some weak, watered-down multivitamin. This is something that is clinical grade. and it is something that is going to help your brain health. Head on over right now to theoxjonesstore.com and make a purchase over there. You help keep us on air, so we greatly appreciate you for doing just that. We've got more underway. Don't go anywhere.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening in the second hour of the program, so thank you for being here. Sammy Woodhouse will be joining me in just a few moments with some big news over in the UK regarding the grooming gangs. And we'll also be joined by Matthew Marsden as well in the second half of this hour, because he's got a lot to sound off on, and it's always great to hear from him. But big things happening across the pond, finally. And so I think it's important to reflect on this. Yesterday, the UK House of Commons voted to approve a government-backed amendment that automatically restricts the parental responsibilities of rapists whose crimes resulted in the birth of a child. Now, I know that sounds like common sense for many of you at home right now. You're probably wondering, well, why would that be something that would have to be passed legislatively? I mean, who would grant rights, parental rights, to rapists? Now, sadly, this is something that's been a fight for individuals like Sammy Woodhouse, who has really taken up the matter. She is someone who has done a lot of exposing in regards to the Rotherham grooming gang, the scandal itself, which was obviously a massive cover-up, and she's also exposing the UK government as well. She was a victim in all of this, but she's become an advocate, a journalist, and she's done an incredible job at exposing all of this. She's also the bestseller of the book, Just a Child, and she's with us now to react to the news. Sammy, I want to thank you for being here. You and I haven't spoken in quite some time. I think it's probably been a little over a year now. Last time we spoke, you and I were talking about specifically how your rapist was able to get access to parental rights. They were trying to push for him to get parental rights to your child. And you've been taking on this fight for quite some time, years and years now. You've been fighting this battle, but now you're receiving some common sense recognition, and they are going to, it looks like, prevent rapists from getting access to these children. I just want to hear your overall reaction to this, and then tell us, what does this actually mean for rape victims and for their children?
Hi, Brenna. Thank you, first of all, for asking me to come on the show. So, you know, I'm absolutely thrilled that this news has been announced, because it's been such a difficult fight. Now, this particular campaign I've been fighting since 2018. And the reason why I did that is because my rapist was convicted and sent to prison for 35 years, not just for offences against me, but for offences against other children. And he was, you know, one of the main perpetrators in the Rotherham grooming gang scandal, which you are very aware of now. Now, when he was in prison for 35 years for a crime that he committed against me, Rotherham Council invited him into my son's life, which meant he could have applied for contact or custody of my son. And I was just so in shock. You know, that such a dangerous individual could be invited into my son's life. Now, he actually received the highest sentencing in UK history for child sexual exploitation. And I think that shows just how dangerous he actually was. Now, I decided to go public with this, and I could have actually gone to prison because I released court documents. You're not allowed to do that. But I wanted to expose this because what I realized from my activism work was this is happening to women all over the country. Now, I was very fortunate because he didn't turn up to court. So he wasn't actually asking for contact with my son. It was the government, the authorities that was actually pushing this. But I continue to campaign. And, you know, the news has now been announced that they are going to be stripped of their parental rights. Now, I am just waiting to hear on some details because what I hope is not going to happen, which I think is going to happen, is these men have to be convicted and sentenced for a certain amount of time before their parental responsibility is stripped. Now, what we have to remember, Brianna, is that our conviction rate is so low in the UK. So not many people are as fortunate as what I am to actually get to court. Now, if you look at my case, the DNA from my son proves that I was 15 years old when I became pregnant and he was 25 years old when he made me pregnant. So surely we don't even need a conviction to tell us that. So as much as, you know, I welcome this news, there is still a lot of work to be done.
Why is it that it's so difficult in the UK to get legislation or get any type of restrictions to these things passed through? I mean, it just seems, you know, obviously we have a different system here in the United States. And so for us looking over and seeing what's going on here, this seems logical. I mean, why would we grant these individuals, these rapists, any type of parental rights? I don't understand what are you guys exactly up against when it comes to trying to push for this logical, sensible corrections to be made? It shouldn't have taken you this long to get here, I feel like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It has been such a battle. And when I was, you know, exposing this and I was talking to the Home Office, for example, they were saying, well, this could be a breach of the rapist's human rights. You know, they have a right to family life. Now it's absolutely mind blowing for me that they, for all the, and you know, not just years, but decades this has been going on, that they are putting the human rights of rapists before the human rights of victims and the human rights of children. Now, what evidence will show you to our family courts is that when they have been allowing these perpetrators access to our children, serious harm has been coming to those children, and not just to them, but to us as victims as well. They are forcing us to play happy families with the men that raped them. And, you know, what our court say as well, if you try and fight this, you know, this will be classed as parental annihilation. So, you know, it's always a fight for us as victims when it's just absolute common sense that you shouldn't put children around such dangerous individuals. Now, if you look at my case and what's been happening with the grooming gangs, what we know is that, you know, these gangs of men, and not just always gangs, but they have had, you know, police, social workers, and, you know, this goes all the way to the Home Office, actually protecting them. So in Rotherham, for example, a report showed that 1,400 victims had been groomed, abused, raped, tortured, some even murdered. And majority of the perpetrators were Pakistani Muslim men. And people turned a blind eye to that because they was scared to be called racist and Islamophobic. You know, it's absolutely heartbreaking what's been happening and is still happening in our country. And the truth is, this is a government cover-up and they are trying to do everything in their power to shut it down. If you look at how I exposed the Rotherham grooming gang scandal, I named the then Labour politician and deputy leader of Rotherham Council, Jahangir Akhtar, my rapist, Aushad Hussain, and police officer, Hassan Ali. So, you know, this was a government scandal and we're still trying to fight it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what's so crazy about it. I think we just sit back and we watch what's going on over there. And I don't understand how they continue to hide these things. I mean, it happens here in the United States too. Obviously we aren't to the lens that you guys are over in the UK, but the levels that they just continue to go out there and to continue to defend these individuals, these rapists is pretty disgusting. How did you feel last week when Starmer was on social media posting about the hate, the Islamophobia in the UK and how they're going to protect Muslims in the UK rather than the actual victims of all of this? Because this has to do a lot with the reporting that you've done about the British government's corruption. I mean, they're more focused on protecting these rapists and these individuals who are coming to your country and flooding your country. And you have people like Starmer out here continuing to say he's going to fight for them. How does that make you feel?
I'm absolutely disgusted with people such as Keir Starmer, you know, Jess Phillips, our minister. Now, they have known about this for decades and they continue to defend people. Now, you know, when I've been speaking out about, you know, rapists, of course, we know all rapists are not Pakistani Muslim men. We have rapists from all walks of life, but we're allowed to talk about white offenders. We're never allowed to talk about Pakistani or Muslim offenders. And, you know, that's wrong. We need to be able to have open and honest conversations because it is a real problem here in the UK, as evidence shows. Now, what Keir Starmer's actually been doing when we are trying to highlight this is branded us as far-right racist thugs. It is, you know, we're not far-right, you know, racist or any of those words, simply for protecting our children, because that's all we're trying to do. We are trying to protect children. Now, this isn't a conspiracy theory of what's happening. It is proven in, you know, court cases, in investigations right across the UK, because it's not something that's just been happening in Rotherham, you know, it's happening in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, England. It is absolutely right throughout our country, and the people in power that are meant to be protecting us are actually failing us massively. Now, you know, it's thanks to Elon Musk back in January. He's put a real spotlight on this. I know people such as Keir Starmer aren't happy about that, but, you know, I say, you know, well done to Elon Musk, but it's such a shame that it's people across the pond, you know, in the USA, that are helping us expose this, when again, it should be people such as Keir Starmer. But what we've also got to remember is that a lot of these cover-ups were happening in Labour councils. Now, I'm not for one second going to just say this is all a problem for the Left, because we've had a Conservative government for many years. We've been failed by them as well. And unfortunately, there's people trying to play politics far too often, when what our focus should be is saving children.
Yeah, it should be. And it should be our focus here in the United States, too. And I'm sadly, I don't think that's the case. You mentioned Scotland. I wanted to bring up this video of this young woman, and it, my heart tore for her, because you know exactly probably what she's witnessed. But this young woman was just literally fighting for her. I believe it was her sister. She was upset about these migrants who are preying upon these girls. And it looks like just recently in her community, just yesterday, a Romanian grooming gang was just recently jailed for raping and sexually assaulting 10 women in flats all across the area. Apparently these girls, I would say girls, some of them are 16 years old, 16 to 30 years old, were drugged and raped all across the area. Obviously this young girl, we owe her a lot, because she kind of blew the whistle on it by just simply looking to defend herself and her loved ones. But this is what's going on right now, because she brought these weapons to defend, and she's literally telling him to get away, and he won't back away from these little girls. She was facing, I believe they arrested her. I'm not sure if she's still facing criminal prosecution, but the last I checked, Sammy, she was arrested and she was charged. Is that correct?
I'll be honest, I don't know all the details about that particular case, but I did see it online. The case went viral. But what I will say is, and I'm leading the rape gang inquiry that was set up by MP Rupert Lowe, and we are working with victims in Scotland. And what they're telling us is that there are real problems there, and politicians want to turn a blind eye to this. So we are trying to put a spotlight on Scotland as well, because as I say, this isn't just a problem for Rotherham or in England. It is happening all across the UK. And our inquiry, you know, we've got evidence that this is happening right back in as 1950s. In fact, the Sikh community, they was trying to highlight this as well in the 1960s, because many girls from their community have been targeted as well. You know, what I will say is this is an absolute mess, because people are so scared to be called racist or Islamophobic or to play politics.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem that we have here too. And it's time we get over that fear, because we're losing our country too here in the United States, and it's worth fighting for. You know, Sammy, you brought up the national inquiry that you're looking to push for. What does that look like over in the UK?
Well, we've got two national inquiries. So there's one that I'm the lead of that was set up by MP Rupert Lowe. And this is an independent inquiry, so it's got nothing to do with the government. And Rupert actually set that up because the government at that point were saying that they didn't want a national inquiry. So our inquiry is funded by the public. Now, we do have a national inquiry that's now been announced, which is just in absolute shambles. I'm not sure if you've heard about this, but they are survivors that have left the panel. They're saying that, you know, they feel they're being silenced again because people want to shut down the conversations about race and religion. So things are just a mess. But the truth is, you know, I don't think any government are going to really expose what has been going on. You know, what you've got to remember as well is not only are we taking on these gangs to expose them and the institutions, you know, that have failed us, but we've got the race and the religion factor, and, you know, a big area that we would have to tackle is Islam, and everybody's absolutely scared to talk about that. Now, when it comes to children being raped, I do not care what gender, race or religion you are. If you're raping children, then it's wrong and it needs to stop, and we need to come at those people with a full force of law. But unfortunately, people seem to be protecting them more than victims. I mean, even with the illegal immigration, you know, there's so many people in fear, children and women, a lot, you know, can't even walk down the street and feel safe. And when we're talking about that and highlighting the fact that we don't feel safe, again, we're branded as being racist or far right. You have men coming here illegally, you know, placing hotels, they're sexually assaulting people, they're raping people, some are even being murdered. And we're not allowed to have those open and honest conversations. I've got real fears for our country, for children, and not only just for women, but for men as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's not looking too good. Now's the time to reverse course, but I don't know if the UK, I don't know if it's too late. I know here in the United States, we're trying our very best to prevent all of that from happening. You know, we have a very, scary election coming up in just a little bit in New York City, and it's not looking good for us. That was kind of what I was warning people. It was the warning that I was trying to issue. It happened in London, and then we saw what happened in London right after they elected someone with ties, with extreme ties to Islam, and now it's happening right now in New York City over someone we gave citizenship to back in 2018, and he speaks nothing of love for this country, more of hate for this country. And he might actually be the New York City mayor very, very soon. So we're going to keep fighting, Sammy, but you're doing an incredible job, and I'm very excited to learn of the news. So thank you for joining us, Sammy. We appreciate it. Folks, give her a follow on X if you want to continue to follow her story and the stories of victims all over the UK. It's Official Sammy UK. That's at Official Sammy UK on X. Sammy, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It's an honor to speak to Sammy. She is one of the very few fighters that we have right now in this battle. So many are afraid to come forward. And like you heard her say, if she could have possibly been arrested for, you know, releasing those documents, those court documents. I mean, there's so much done to force victims to not come out and say their stories, tell their stories. And it's just absolutely devastating. It truly, truly is devastating. But it's going on right now in the UK. I feel like I see these headlines all the time. I don't know if it's my algorithm and I just get them all the time. But every day I'm seeing one of these stories, and it's devastating to continue to see. All right, I want to turn to something like maybe a little bit of peace talk. Yesterday, we saw something that actually caught me off guard. Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes sat down for an interview. They did about a two-hour discussion over on the Tucker Carlson show, and I listened to about half of it because I did have to go to sleep last night, and they did put it out late. My curfew is about 8 o'clock. But I did listen to a lot of it, and I wanted you to listen to clip 5 because this one is very relatable for a lot of you at home. Take a listen.
It was just not even – it's actually – you're going to love this. This is – I don't know if I've ever even said this on an interview before. I was listening to Mark Levin's show. This goes to show how normie I was.
Actually?
I listen to him every day.
You listen to Mark Levin every day?
In high school, yes.
Wow.
I was a fan. I loved his show, and I actually liked how he was kind of obnoxious and mean to his callers.
Yeah.
Vicious, and I liked that. I thought that was funny. But I'll never forget one show, he goes live, and he says, America's becoming a majority non-white country. Does anybody think that's a good idea? And I was thinking to myself, yeah, that actually doesn't sound so good. I didn't really even think that America's becoming majority minority like that.
And, wait, so and you were radicalized on race by Mark Levin?
Yes.
Are you making that up? Or that's
a real story.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. He planted the seed at least. And
Oh, man, that's going to get Mark pulled off the air. He's radicalizing people. He radicalized Nick Fuentes. Folks, I have not been able to listen to Mark Levine ever. I don't hate the guy. I hate no one in life, but man, oh man. If I ever want anyone to drop the war machine, that's who you tune into every night. It's not surprising though, folks, that, he's not very likable. His presence on cable news, Brady, I've just never understood it. I know you guys are going to tell me though. Let's turn to another story. Let's turn to a story about that we talked about last year, actually. This one was insane. This woman, Bianca Elias, this woman was very unhinged. We're going to play a little clip about what happened to her specifically in her sentencing hearing, but she was accused and now has been convicted of murdering a child, a 3-year-old boy, in his shopping cart when he was with his mother in an Ohio supermarket. Now, this woman was just sentenced to life in prison. Her attorney tried their very best to say that she wasn't mentally well at the time of all of this. But according to experts, she knew exactly what she was doing. She knew right from wrong. And so a judge has just sentenced her to life in prison. Now, and this video pissed off a lot of people. We have this video of the killer and the victim. And when it was circulating on social media last year when the story broke, I know a lot of people were fired up over it because they could not believe that this woman was smiling in court, smirking at the cameras. I mean, they're trying to say that this woman had no idea what right from wrong was as she looks into the camera. Now she'll be spending the rest of her life in prison. The parents spoke out before her sentencing yesterday, and a local news station covered in the area. Let's take a listen to clip six.
I hate you with every fiber of my being.
Mother and father sending a message to the killer face to face.
Bianca Ellis, convicted of killing 3-year-old Julian Wood, a stranger, stabbing the child and his mother last year outside a grocery store in North Olmsted.
Here, Ellis finding out her punishment.
Because of you, I live in constant fear. I hate that I'm here and my son is gone.
That monster took him from us. Now all of our hearts will forever be missing a piece.
All the experts in the case agree that Bianca was mentally ill.
Defense lawyers reminded the court Bianca Ellis has a history of mental illness.
They had tried to find her not guilty by reason of insanity.
But a jury agreed with Cuyahoga County prosecutors who said Ellis knew right from wrong.
This defendant carefully chose her victim.
Last year, the I-team revealed a Rocky River judge released Bianca Ellis from jail days before the murder.
Oh, did you hear the last part? Days before the murder, she was released from jail. Not surprising. This is what's going on all around the country. These awful human beings, these hardened criminals are being released because, well, they have more empathy for them than you. And that's what's going on all around the country. So it's good to hear life in prison probably should be the death penalty. But again, this is the justice system that we're working against. Folks, I want to remind you all, we've just created, and you should download the brand new Alex Jones app. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. It's available now on Android phones as well. So now is the perfect time to head on over there and grab it at the shop. This is number one on the charts. I know Apple Store, the App Store itself, is booming. Probably to trigger a lot on the left. So make sure you do your part. Let's trigger them together. Head on over to the alexjonesapp.com and download the app. When you do, you also get a 20% off promo code that you could use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And we just launched the brand new Methylene Red. So you got to head on over right now and grab some of this. It's going to increase and boost your brain power, which I need every morning, of course. But most importantly, folks, this isn't some watered-down, weak multivitamin. This is something that's going to really give your brain ammo and help you fight every single day. And you got to pair it up with the Methylene Blue as well. So head on over to the shop. Make sure you snag yourself some. We just released that as of today, and it's available over at the alexjonesstore.com. We've got Matthew Marsden joining us in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. with the CMOS, because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad that you're all here and joining us today. We've got a great lineup of guests coming your way and a lot to unpack on today's show. So thanks for sticking by. Joining me in just a few moments will be Matthew Marsden. But first, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because, well, can't stop talking about it. I've been talking about it for months. And I was hoping if I talked about it soon, like super early, that we'd prevent this issue down the line. But unfortunately, everyone's a coward and everyone was afraid to call out Zohran Mamdani. They were afraid to call him a communist. They think that was the safest thing to call him. And now they're trying to call him a jihadist. So he's drumming up the empathy for Muslims in this country. But interesting enough, those Jewish Americans are supporting him. I don't know how to say this. It's quite strange again, I don't care what you personally feel about like this in the spectrum of Israel and Hamas and whatever it is. Like, it's strange when you're talking about New York City, Jewish people in New York City supporting Madani, someone who's hateful and hates them and has been very clear about this. But then when you see this video, it all starts to make sense. Take a look at these trans rabbis who have now endorsed Zohran Madani in clip 7.
Hi, Rabbi. We're among the thousands of Jewish New Yorkers who've been out door knocking and phone banking to elect Zohran Mamdani. We're also rabbis.
We know Zohran will fight to make our city affordable and safe for our families.
And for our neighbors of all faiths and backgrounds. As New Yorkers, we're also just people who live here, who don't want to get priced out of this incredible city that we call home.
We know fellow Jews want to be able to afford housing, transportation, and childcare for their families too. As Jews, as rabbis, as New Yorkers, we believe that all people deserve to thrive. Zohran agrees.
But let's get real. This isn't only about belief. It's about action. So let's build a flourishing city.
Together, let's elect Zohran. Zohran!
All right, sorry if you're eating breakfast. We should have issued that disclaimer. But it really takes some balls to get up there and endorse Zohran Mamdani. One of those rabbis, so-called rabbis, I'm assuming, and never mind, let's not go there. Joining me now to discuss is Matthew Marsden. He is an well-known actor. He is obviously one of our favorites to have on the program, and he's with us now. Matthew, thank you for being here. I kind of wanted to get your take on this. Zohran Mamdani getting endorsed by apparently what appears to be, okay, it doesn't appear to be. They're supposed to be females. Some of them are trans, and they are backing Zohran Mamdani. I don't think they understand how Islam works. Do you?
No, well, look, I mean, this is a classic case of Turkey's voting for Thanksgiving, right? And I think what's very important in this case, as with most cases when people identify as a certain thing, like you can identify as a Christian, that doesn't actually make you one. The theologian Frank Sheed, I'm paraphrasing here, said your faith shouldn't be like a lapel pin that you wear on a suit. It should be something that runs through you. It's something you should live your life by. And I think that when you look at these rabbis, mm-hmm. you can call yourself whatever you want. What matters is how you live your life. And clearly, these people are living their lives in an antithetical way to the Jewish religion. So it doesn't really matter what they call themselves. I mean, this is massively problematic. And by the way, it's interesting that it's a bunch of women, you know, I mean, allegedly. apart from the dude who's saying he's a woman who clearly isn't a woman. I mean, it's funny when they go, you know, here was Jews. And then it's like, well, we're here for, I mean, come on. It's really becoming ridiculous now. And this is where, wokeism becomes a faith. That's what it is. I don't know what guilt they have, because that's where everything really with wokeism comes from, this kind of misplaced guilt. I don't know where their guilt comes from, but this is a very, very, very dangerous thing for New York. And I know that the InfoWars crowd are clued up on these things, but it's very important, Brianna, to understand that up until, you know, the notion of separation of church and state, and we all know what that means. We all know that is constantly taken out of context. But the notion of the separation of church and state is a particularly Christian notion. They do not have this in Islam. So when people are talking about bringing a Muslim in, if he is a practicing Muslim, and we've seen, you know, what he said in the past and what his dad has said in the past, but there is no separation of church and state with Islam. So people really need to understand this, that, like I said, this is something when Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, then there was an established things set. But even then, within the context of the United States of America, this is a Christian country. It always was a Christian country and should be a Christian country. And we need to understand that, recognize that, and understand the danger that is coming from these politicians that are, I mean, he's a, what is he, a communist, and he's also a Muslim. And, you know, I don't know what else he wants to say he is, but this is a major problem for New York City.
Yeah, it is a major problem for New York City. And I kind of wanted to dig into that a little bit because, you know, we have a congressman coming on the show later today, and he is actually asking for the Trump administration to pull Madani's citizenship. He doesn't want him to be a U.S. citizen anymore. And so we're going to have him on to talk about that for a bit. But I wanted to highlight this piece that End Wokeness alleges that Zohran Mahdani, actually his father, wrote 3 years after 9/11. Instead of, you know, having empathy for the victims of 9/11, it says that we need to recognize the suicide bombers first and foremost as category of soldier. And then he goes on to saying that suicide bombing needs to be understood as a feature of modern political violence. So again, this is someone who is obviously, I mean, I'm just going to say, I believe he's a jihadist. That's in my opinion. I believe these people are jihadists. And when you look at the timeline of when he came to this country, when he was granted citizenship, according to reports, he was granted citizenship in 2018. But then you're going to hear in clip 8, and I don't think people caught on to this, so I keep circulating this clip. Steven Crowder's Mug Club Undercover team put up a video. They were able to get exclusive footage of one of Madani's directors, his campaign directors, out there just outing what they do behind closed doors. But ultimately, he's saying that Zohran Mahdani wasn't just some random person who popped up into the political sphere. He was actually in the works back in 2014, so before he became a U.S. citizen. Take a listen to clip 8.
It's not like this, this just came out of nowhere. Like, not at all. Like, this has been a coordinated, like, organizing effort for, like, since 2014.
Okay, so before he was a U.S. citizen, they were working behind the scenes to get him elected to become mayor. I mean, this was the plan. They were working this out back in 2014. That's according to his campaign director, who I don't even think was fired after that footage was released. Your thoughts on how we just import people from countries that hate us, and we just allow them to run for positions like New York City mayor?
Well, look, as you know, as you can probably tell by my accent, that I wasn't born here. I came here, first was on a bunch of 01 visas, then got my green card, and then I had the privilege, Brianna, the privilege of becoming an American citizen. And although I would love with all my heart, because I love this country, you know, I coveted it from afar when I was growing up in the UK, and it's not like the UK, although it is turning that way now, it's not a backwards country. I desperately, desperately wanted to come to America, but even though I love this country and, you know, I would love, because I'm seeing the way that the country is going, I'd love to run for office at some point. I think that if you are an immigrant to the United States, you should not be able to run for office. And I think that that should extend for two generations, actually, because I think that what you are seeing is, I mean, it's very, very easy to bring in these radicals and then run them for government. I mean, why are we doing this? This is what you would do in a wartime setting if you wanted to undermine a country that you could never possibly defeat militarily. And you look, nobody will ever invade the United States. It's never going to happen. And Benjamin Franklin said, you know, I'm giving you a republic if you can keep it. And this is what we're seeing right now. We knew that America would be undermined from the inside. And this is what we are seeing. And all you've got to do is look over to the UK to see the playbook of the way that they do it. And by the way, this is one of the most frustrating things that I see, Brianna, is that the Republican Party only thinks as far as 4 years ahead. That's it. The Democrats, they think 10, 15, 20, 30 years ahead. Muslims think 1,000 years ahead. So we tend to be very reactionary. We don't plan. I've said this over and over about Hollywood. The way that Hollywood has prepped the system over the years started in the 80s. I mean, this has been going for a very, very long time. Yet if you go out today and you try and say to someone, for example, if you want to turn around the culture, you do it through entertainment. But conservatives won't do that, because what they're doing is they're focused on the next election, not two elections time, not three elections time, not four elections time. It's all about the next election, and we need to change that. So am I surprised that this guy has come in and they've been talking about it for 10 years? 100% no. We know that this is the way they think. And listen, I'll give them credit for it, right? They're out there, they're plotting, they're making their moves. They know that eventually it's going to come to fruition. Now, I think this is, it's absolutely crazy that this guy is in this position. But what you're seeing right now as well, which is very, very important to note, the whole Democratic establishment is moving behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all moving. You know, Gavin Newsom, who's probably the worst governor in history, people know that he's still a little bit toxic, to say the least, right? So he is the golden child of the left until now. And so now you're seeing people, because the Democrats don't have a deep bench. They don't have anyone to run. There's no one charismatic. And you look at this guy and you're like, why would anyone elect him? Well, because there's tons of money going behind it. There's a ground game, and the Democrats understand how to play it. And we don't. And this is very, very worrying. Look, I've said it before. As far as I'm concerned, put up a wall, let New York devolve into chaos, and then we'll come in and win the election there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's just sad. It's sad to have to wait that long for it. And it's sad because here's my biggest concern right now, though. I'm deeply worried about him having access to the NYPD counterterrorism data. I've read reports that he would have access to that, and I think that's something that should provoke the FBI to step in, because, again, they do have strong, his family has strong ties to communism. They have praised terrorism. There's a record of that as well. And so this is something that is deeply, deeply concerning. But we'll take it up with the congressman, too, because I'm so angry that they waited this long to get involved in this fight. Like, we've known about this for months now. Now that we're just days away from the election, everyone's coming out with all these things. We see Fox dropping a story about how he's funded by not only George Soros, but Islamists have been pouring money into his campaign. So all of it's great to see now, but it's a little too late because early voting has already started and they're seeing massive numbers for early voting. So it's way too late for all of this now to be coming out. And they've had advance notice of this. I mean, Cuomo lost his primary. That should have been the first one for all of them. But unfortunately, the GOP in New York is weak. It's a conglomerate of weak people who are barely holding on with barely any financial backing either. And so they don't do any of their research. They keep putting up candidates that don't have a fight in any of this. People who can't win. Curtis Sliwal can't win. He didn't win the first time he ran. And so they continue to put him up because they can't find anyone else who wants to run, because it's a lose. It's a big loss for them. And so instead of running maybe a moderate Democrat, they'd rather just sit there and keep putting up losers who are going to lose. And it's just sad. It really is sad. I want to turn to something else, though. Speaking of losers, let's talk about Kamala Harris for a moment, because she's threatening to potentially run for office again. Take a listen.
Of your baby nieces, Amara and Leela, when are they going to see a woman in charge in the White House?
In their lifetime, for sure.
Could it be you?
Possibly.
Have you made a decision yet?
No, I have not.
But you say in your book, I'm not done.
That is correct. I am not done.
Okay, so she's not done. That's a threat. We're taking that as a threat. But then there was this really interesting article that popped up today in regards to Jonathan Carl, who has a new book out, where he's claiming that former President Barack Obama was not pleased with Speaker Nancy Pelosi's endorsement of Kamala Harris just a day after Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race. According to this book, he said, "What the F did you just do?" when he was trying to confront Pelosi's team about this. Isn't it funny that we're sitting back now, we're getting kind of a glimpse as to what was happening behind the scenes? The rest of us knew this was going on. We knew that that was going to be a losing ticket. Barack Obama knew it was going to be a losing ticket, and he was, again, trying to intervene in the election, interfere in that. But I guess Nancy Pelosi never caught on?
All I can say is this about that, Brianna. Oh, no, please don't run, Kamala. You will be unstoppable. We are all shaking in our shoes. She is honestly she's an abysmal candidate. But this is what, like I just said earlier, the Democrats do not have anyone. If you look at the Republicans right now, we're going to have another 8 years after Trump. We're going to have J.D. Vance in. And then you've got a massive bench to choose from. I mean, Marco Rubio's killing it right now. We could have another 8 years of Rubio. They don't have anyone. So what they do now is they're looking around. They're going, okay, well, we need name recognition. And that's what they're really pushing for. But they don't realize the country's actually moved on. Like, nobody cares whether or not you get a female president. That has been absolutely whooped to death. Listen, the country of my origin had a female prime minister and one of the greatest prime ministers of all time 40 years ago in Margaret Thatcher. So what people want right now is they want competence, right? They're not interested really, because real Americans are like, listen, I can't pay for my groceries. That the you know, insurance is through the roof. I can't pay for my mortgage. And again, this is when Americans look and they say, I want someone who's going to actually do something for me. And the woman who is just the world's worst word salad expert is not the person for it. But again, I mean, look, I think that we all knew that Barack Obama was pulling the strings behind Joe Biden. I mean, he was just a puppet. We knew that. But what this shows, I believe, is you had that shift. I mean, look, I go back to when Joe Biden first ran, and I think that Joe Biden was absolutely a throwaway candidate. I don't think that they ever thought that they would beat Trump. I think that COVID gave them the opportunity to beat Trump by cheating. I firmly believe that he won that election. And so what has now happened is that they got Joe Biden in, which they didn't expect. They had a puppet presidency for all that time. And what Pelosi did there is she's the ultimate political operator. She was moving because she thought, hey, listen, I've got to get in with who I think is going to be the next president of the United States. These people are absolute narcissists, and they will do whatever they can to gain power. We've seen this. So, and also now you're seeing people saying on the left, oh no, you know, Barack Obama didn't really mean it. He was just saying it. Oh, he was ribbing her. No. He meant it. Of course he meant it. But again, it's all about power with these people, and they will chop you off at the knees if they can to achieve power. So that's all that was about. I mean, Kamala Harris was always a disastrous, nominee. Like I said at the beginning, I think that Biden was a throwaway candidate, and they put her in as a throwaway candidate as well. I mean, she got, what, less than 2% in the debates? So you can't tell me that that was a real viable candidate. But again, the Democrats are brilliant at mobilizing and getting behind their people and cheating, by the way. Yeah. They're really, really good at cheating. So what did they have to lose?
Yeah, that's the problem with all of this, is they're really good at cheating. But, you know, when you want to trigger those on the left these days, all you have to do is toss out, and Steve Bannon did a great job at this the other day, toss out the idea that we're preparing for a third Trump administration, a third term, and they become so unhinged that they can't even take a joke. But now I actually want to start doing this. I want to start carrying this through and making sure that we can make this happen so you could watch them all foam at the mouth. Take a listen to how unhinged CNN becomes at just the hint of the idea of a third presidency term for President Trump.
Yeah, what's the... This sort of flirtation that Trump has of a third term, coupled with what Steve Bannon is talking about in raising this idea of, you know, maybe there's different ways. I think so some people question even this idea of, you know, what about kind of an acolyte or a proxy, and then Trump staying very involved as an ex-president who would be then, let's be clear, well into his 80s. What is the precedent for that, and why have presidents so shied away from that kind of thing?
We have a president, and then that is supposed to be the leader. That is the democratically elected leader of what is now the longest running republic in the history of the world. And perhaps, you know, the providence is that at 250, it's no longer. But the president should not, you know, the Constitution is really clear. You are elected, you can serve a certain amount of time, and then no longer. And I think that there are, you know, as Bannon threatened, I would say, like, we do have to take this quite seriously. We should view it as a threat. There are patterns that are established, and we should look at them.
Okay, so Matthew, we have about three more minutes left, but I think they just detailed Barack Obama running the show behind the scenes of Joe Biden without even knowing that they did. They're upset because they're alluding to the fact that Trump might do that himself. I mean, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, well, I mean, they say that with a straight face, right? When they know that Obama's been doing this for the past, you know, 4 years anyway. But look, Brianna, I think that if you look at the Second World War, that was the first instance that the British Army actually put together special operations. Why am I saying this? Well, because special operations were disruptors. What they would do is they would drop behind enemy lines. They would bomb like trains and whatever. And then the troops would be focused towards what was going on behind enemy lines rather than focusing on the enemy in front of them. And this is what Trump does brilliantly. He throws a bomb at them, throws it over. They panic. All of a sudden, he's dominating the news cycle again. We will never see a president like this who understands the media like Donald Trump. He's absolutely brilliant. He's constantly putting them on the back foot. And that is what this is all about. I mean, look, technically, could he get a third term? Yeah. I mean, we all know that there's a loophole in there where it says about consecutive presidencies. But this is all about spinning them up and getting them focused on something else. And he's an absolute master at it. This is because, I mean, he was on television for 17 years. He understands the entertainment industry and media better than anyone I've ever seen. And so that's what this is all about. It's all about spinning them up, getting them to focus on something else while he's going and, executing his agenda elsewhere. It's utterly brilliant.
I love it. I love just sitting back and watching it and floating these ideas around just to see how upset they get at it. I mean, they literally stole the 2020 election, gave it to a man who was never competent. We're now learning, too, and I'll get you away on this, the auto pen scandal. We were reading through it earlier in the show, this new report that came out from the House committee that outlines exactly what we've been telling people. By the way, they call us conspiracy theorists, but what we've been telling people for years now, and that is that there was a massive cover-up to not show how much of a decline Joe Biden was in at the time and how they were all working behind the scenes to do things that he wasn't competent enough to even know what he was signing or what he was apparently approving. And so right now the House Committee for Oversight has unearthed more evidence, speaking to former close advisors, people who was working close to Joe Biden. And ultimately they've mapped out what lengths that they went to, that the inner circle was manipulating his public appearances, reducing his private workload, and prevented lawmakers from having direct access to him. We've known this. Oh, this was great when Trump did that, but we've known this. I mean, he literally was given directives on where to walk and they had to shuffle him around like he was elderly. We got about 45 seconds, Matt, for you to react to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we knew this when he ran. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He was a useless throwaway candidate when actually he was nominated for the Democratic candidate. So we knew that he was useless. But look, I think that all this is kabuki theater unless the Republicans go in and they turn around and say, look, this is all illegal. They all need to be revoked.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do. Otherwise, I don't care, right? We knew that this was happening. What matters is, are you going to actually follow through on what you're finding here? And we've had a history of Republicans not doing that. So I think the American people will be very, very happy if the Republicans go through one by one, look at all these auto pen signatures and say, no, that is not real. That is not real. It wasn't done by the presidency.
Yeah,
and I think that is really, really important because who was authorizing this? I mean, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, and he's got someone else like pulling his strings behind. This is treasonous, actually.
Yeah, one would think it's treasonous and one would want action. Matthew Marsden, thanks for joining us. I want to remind our audience, you do an incredible job giving your takes on X as well as YouTube. Give him a follow on X. It's at Matthew D, the letter D, Marsden. Give him a follow right now. Matthew, we look forward to having you back on very, very soon, my friend. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Brianna.
All right, folks, we've got Alex Rosen joining me in studio in just a moment. But in the meantime, have you downloaded the app? If you haven't done so already, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. When you download the app, you get 20% off to use at the Alex Jones store. And now we have Methylene Red. Just posted that up right now on the website. So head on over right now and grab yourself some. We'll be right back with more.
The American spirit is the fire of freedom.
ignited by the founding fathers' fearless words on the printing press. Carried by Paul Revere's midnight ride to warn of tyranny's approach, it's the courage of the Alamo, where men and women stood against impossible odds for a better tomorrow. It's the resolve of a nation daring to dream beyond the stars. InfoWars is that spirit reborn. We are the lighthouse, shining truth on the hidden rocks of corruption, foreign and domestic. We challenge power, expose lies.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
And arm we the people with knowledge to forge their own path. This is the fight for freedom. InfoWars is you, me, and every patriot who dares to seek the truth. Join us. Stand tall. For when the stakes are this high, truth is our greatest weapon. InfoWars is America.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
The 10-year setup for this, the 3-year setup for the expiration of these credits was intentionally put in. It was put in when you controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. You couldn't get it passed for longer, and so this is a setup that kind of your own creation that you all couldn't extend beyond that. Now you want the Republicans to do something you didn't do when you were in power?
It's not a setup.
The Democrats have now decided to own the record government shutdown circus, potentially starving the poor as a means to use leverage against the White House and the American people.
Shutdowns are terrible, and of course there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously, but it is one of the few leverage times we have.
Leverage. Yeah, sure, they're okay with people suffering, but boy, does it give them leverage. For what? To appease their radical base, to show their radical base they're fighting Donald Trump. So they've made the calculation it's okay to cause suffering to families.
But why not vote to fund the government, at least for now, and then negotiate on the subsidies later while the government is open?
Clearly, the Republicans don't want to negotiate.
Donald Trump is withholding the money because he wants to inflict maximum pain on Americans to hope it helps him politically.
The Republicans are not allowed in the room. So the operating budget that increased taxes, the Democrats that we went to, you know, $78 billion, it's all the Democrats' budget.
It is truly amazing how a program Democrats created and tax credits that they chose to sunset have now become the Republicans' crisis.
Over 42 million SNAP recipients, 1 in 8 Americans, leaning on $188 monthly to survive, are facing a November blackout.
I want to be in the grocery store when they start looting it, because you think that people are going to be hungry? You think that these people not going to get their Thanksgiving? Baby, when they run up in there and start stealing them turkeys, it's gonna be like Christmas game.
Now you're threatening us, talking about if they get rid of the SNAP, I'm gonna start stealing.
Every time I turn around and look on the internet, y'all stealing in Walmart, you're stealing in Walgreens, you're stealing in CVS, you're stealing everywhere. What is you talking about? That ain't no threat. You been stealing. I'm gonna be stealing like it ain't no tomorrow. I am going to go in that store, get everything I get regularly, and I'm going to have one of my cousins with me that'll punch your ass so hard you're going to think a Jet 2 holiday hit your bitch ass if you think I ain't going to walk out that store.
Get ready.
Oh yeah, it's gonna get lit. BJ's, Costco's, get ready.
From Texas's 3.5 million hungry, including 1.7 million children, to the shadows of New York's 3 million in the urban and rural areas, anticipating the $8 billion SNAP program's collapse.
It's baffling to me that some people feel like other people need to earn food.
And it's bad to do at the same time. They're probably doing it for a reason. They need those things.
With or without EBT, me and mine gonna eat.
How they gonna pay the light bill? And they can't sell stamps.
She works at the food stamp office. Listen to what she says.
It is because of Trump. There ain't no sidestepping it. I'm blaming him for everything.
Media megaphones weaponized Trump's supposed failure.
I think they all ought to have their head shaven. They should be put in orange pajamas and it should be marched down Pennsylvania Avenue and the public should be invited to spit on them. The universities, the corporations, the law firms, all of these collaborators should be shaved, pajamaed, and spit on.
It's a double standard, as bold as it is reckless, fanning the flames of a starving, misdirected mob ready to unleash hell on their fellow innocent Americans as they race forward toward unyielding, violent speech.
Poor people, all they want is for us to fight. So if you hit me in my face, I'm not going to punch you back in your face. I'm going to go across your neck.
You guys say this is about saving healthcare, but how do these pet projects fit?
Yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about or what Republican extremists fed you those talking points.
The head of the Lenawee County Democratic Party, Bill Swift, who also called for anyone that supported Donald Trump to be hung.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We've got a story for you based in Texas. And, of course, my good friend Alex Rosen is joining us in studio to talk about this. This has to do with three other predator poachers, not officially with you guys, but they do the same exact thing. Well, two of them were just recently extradited to Texas for a catch that they did. One more is waiting in jail right now. But I wanted to play this clip before we dive into this, Alex, because we were talking about it before you came on the show. In clip 12, this group of individuals confronted an alleged pedophile, and he suddenly passed out, allegedly. And now they're being charged in all of this. It's so insane. Take a listen to this video.
Bro, I know you're in a jam and you know what I'm saying, you got caught. You can cut the f***ing act, bro. For real. You hear me? No, bro. Call the cops.
He
said he's all right.
Man, let's call the cops.
You want us to call the cops on you?
Huh?
You want us to call the cops on you?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, so obviously they're asking if he needs assistance, if he needs the police to show up, and it looks like they handled it properly. They didn't touch him. This happened in the Waco, Texas area. So this is McLean area. And ultimately, folks, what we're talking about here is the simple fact that they have now been charged. Their sheriff in the area, who actually is under investigation himself, announced that he arrested the three men who were involved in this catch. by claiming that they did this for clicks, ultimately. And they're claiming that he somehow, some way was being restrained. It's unlawful restraints. That's what they charge these three with. Alex, this doesn't seem to make sense to me. Obviously, you're the predator poacher. None of this makes any sense to me. I watched the video. I've even reached out to the prosecutors to get some information on all of this, and they've got nothing to tell me.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. It's totally an ego-filled prosecution. There are absolutely groups of predator catchers who go around hitting people, restraining people. We don't endorse that because they're not going to get prosecuted that way. All Oklahoma Predator Prevention did was have a conversation with this sicko, Jimmy Mansell, and when faced with the consequences of his own actions or being approached about his own actions of trying to rape little kids, he fainted. And then he gets back up. I mean, you'll see later in the video. He gets back up and he says, well, this happens sometimes. Like, it wasn't a one-time thing that he fainted. He apparently has this condition where he just sometimes faints. But obviously in this case, he fainted because he was feeling the heat of his own actions. And at no point did Oklahoma Predator Prevention say you cannot leave. They never touched him. And it was on Jimmy's property. Jimmy never asked them to leave. And, you know, the sheriff's office also claimed that they took him to a restricted area or secluded area that was on it. You see the street right there. How is it secluded? Anybody from even across the street could see where Jimmy is right there. So it's sick. They sent the U.S. Marshals to stick shotguns in their face and kept him in an Oklahoma jail for a week, sent him to Texas. And just, it's a major inconvenience for a case that I don't even think is going to stand in court. It's totally ego-filled. But this sheriff, Parnell McNamara, he has a pattern of just wasting taxpayer money on just dumb stuff. I mean, he is under investigation right now for spending $200,000 of taxpayer money on a shooting range at his own house. So he clearly thinks he's above the law. And that's a very scary guy to have, you know, as a sheriff, because not only is he wasting taxpayer money, he's prosecuting people who just simply want to see pedos out off the street.
So it's so crazy. So I called the prosecutor's office yesterday to get some comment from them and sent them over an email. I didn't hear it back. They passed my 10 a.m. deadline, so I wanted to make sure we included their perspective on all of this, and sadly they didn't want to do that. But I reached out to them asking specifically in regards to the being restrained part in all of this. They're saying that these three men unlawfully restrained him. Again, he has easy access to leave. They even asked him, do you want us to call police? And he declined. So I just don't get the argument here. What the heck's going on? Are they trying to cover this up?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. I don't know. It doesn't seem like Jimmy has any contacts in the sheriff's office, but I just think it's an egotistical sheriff that just feels bad that three guys from Oklahoma found a pedo in his community before he did. And it's extremely scary that they can just wield this much power to just do this when there's no justification for it.
Yeah, and I also asked, too, how many times have they done these undercover type of things to go after pedophiles in the area? That was one of my questions, and sadly, they didn't respond. They didn't answer back. But I would like to know, what are they doing in their own county to catch pedos? A lot of these prosecutors and these sheriffs, they're so critical of citizens going out there and catching predators. But the reality of it is, Alex, is you're the one who's fighting back. You're the one that's pushing back. They're not doing anything about this. Instead, they look the other way on these issues. And so how can they be upset when civilians are stepping in saying, hey, we got predators in your area, and I'm going to get them if you're not?
Well, it's crazy because Texas is really a great state to do this in, and it's my home state, obviously. But, you know, we had a guy in McLennan County we caught. It wasn't the sheriff's office, but it was a different PD. His name was Dwayne Bundrick, and he was a corrections officer. He got charged, convicted, and everything. But this DA and this office expunged his record of him committing online solicitation of a minor. So this isn't the first time they've covered up for a pedo that's been caught by predator catchers. And, I mean, people in Waco, people in that county, do you feel safer with Oklahoma Predator Prevention being in jail? I mean, do you think they were a threat to you? Of course not. The only people in McLennan County who like Oklahoma Predator Prevention going to jail are pedophiles. So it really goes to show you where the mind of the DA office and the sheriff's office is at.
Yeah, and Alex, I did ask them specifically that question as well. Is this the best use of taxpayer money to extradite these three individuals? And again, I want to remind our audience that two of them were extradited from Oklahoma to Waco, Texas. One of them is actually still sitting right now in jail. And again, they won't confirm any of these details with me. They're looking the other way. They don't want to talk about it. But when I did call the prosecutor's office, and before even getting to these three individuals' names or anything about their backgrounds, they knew exactly who I was talking about when I was citing what the case was all about. So they're definitely getting a lot of phone calls asking for questions here to be answered. They're just not looking to do just that. I want to tell our audience before we move on to the next story, though, you've done the great deed of trying to help these guys out their legal costs, because obviously, folks, this gets very, very pricey. So you've set up a Gifts and Go page, OPP, Oklahoma Predator Prevention Legal Help. That's what you got up and running right now. You're looking for a goal about, you guys are all looking for a goal about 50,000. Looks like you're around 30, which is great, but you definitely need more. And obviously there's still one person sitting in jail, which is so crazy to me. Cause folks, taxpayers, this isn't the best use of your money. I mean, we could be using this money to go out there and catch actual pedophiles. Instead, the prosecutor and the sheriff's office is deciding to go after those who are catching pedophiles. And again, they didn't put their hands on him. They didn't restrain him in any way. They asked for, if you wanted police to be called. So what's going to happen now probably is none of these charges are going to stick, but they're going to drag them through the lawfare. As you know very well, Alex, rack up some very expensive legal fees for these gentlemen and, possibly just drop them last minute before they go to trial. So, we look forward and we hope that we're able to raise them some money here for that. But I want to switch gears a little bit because you've been doing your due diligence. Back in my home in Long Island, you just recently, well, one of your affiliates too has just recently did a massive catch of a Long Island teacher who is allegedly accused of sexting a teenager. Now it looks like his family has put up their home to get him released from jail. But these allegations are massive here, and it actually caught quite the media's attention. I know everyone, my family was talking about it. My friends were calling me. What's going on here in Long Island?
So our Predator Poachers Long Island branch, Predator Poachers Long Island, you can find them on YouTube. I was up there with them in New York, and they found a teacher in a kind of a chat group named Mark Verity who taught at Wading River Elementary School. And within a few days, he was extremely graphic. He was asking for nude photos. And I mean, clearly just jumped right into it. I mean, and he was careful enough too, with his identity for us to think that he's probably done this before. Mm-hmm. So we were waiting, just watching the elementary school. We're not creeps for doing that, by the way. We're waiting for the teacher to come out, but we were just sitting in the elementary school in the parking lot for a couple hours, and we just see him walking out, and we approach him, and he's just all happy and stuff. And then we tell him what's going on. He instantly just like is like, oh crap. And then he walks across the street with us. And then while we're talking to him, he confesses to talking to who he thought was his 13-year-old kid, trying to receive nude photos from them, talking about having sex with her. And he also admitted that he's viewed child pornography as young as 8 years old, and that he's been viewing it for at least a couple of years, and that, you know, this is kind of a thing for him that he does. Now, I don't believe they found any child pornography on his phone because, you know, he's more careful with it than others. But, I mean, accessing it and getting off to children, I mean, that is something that he does. And he admitted to us that he seeks out pictures of 13-year-old girls online. So, I mean, this is not like this isn't a one-time thing for him. I mean, this is a very common thing that he's done.
Yeah, and this is so crazy because obviously, you know, you don't want these type of people around your kids, but they always try to get access to children. And being a teacher would do just that. You know, this reminds me of when I was a high school student. We had a teacher who is quite strange, but he always followed us up a grade. So he would stick with us. So he'd move up if you were, you know, whatever grade you were in high school, he'd move up with us. And we were there one day. It was a Friday afternoon. I'll never forget it because they waited until all the buses pulled out. Then police quickly drove up onto the parking lot and grabbed him and scooped him up. He allegedly had sex, this is what the police were alleging, with a child in a gay chat that he met online. And the charges were actually dropped against him because they couldn't prove that the child actually ever said his age when this happened. And he had to check off a little box saying that he was over the age of 18 to get the account on this gay dating service. So, I mean, this happens a lot, and it's really, really concerning. Now, he's no longer a teacher anymore because essentially he did have sex with a kid, it sounded like, right. But we weren't able to pin the charges on him. But this is what's going on all around the country. These pedophiles are gaining access to children through becoming teachers. How do you vet this?
I mean, gosh.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the obvious one would be like a girls volleyball coach who's just a single guy or something like that. He has no daughters on the team. But, like, I don't know. I mean, we caught an elementary school teacher earlier this year named Preston Palmer, Minneapolis. We caught him with 18,000 child porn images. He thought he was meeting me as the pedo dad and my assumed son for sex. And, you know, he had a flash drive of child porn, passed it on to me, thinking that I was going to put it in this laptop, then I'd just take it from him. And then I confront him, and, you know, he was nailed with a bunch of charges, and he's pleading guilty to 10 years on November 3rd. Officially, that's when he gets sentenced. So, surprisingly, Minneapolis sentenced someone to prison. But, yeah, I mean, it is a common thing. The fact that he's not even the first teacher we caught this year really says a lot about them. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, just got to be diligent with these people.
And that's what gets me so fired up and so angry, because these are people who are getting access to children, and yeah. It's so predatorial, and it's so well thought out on their end. I wanted to play clip 18 because you recently just got this individual, this pedophile, sent into life in prison. So take a listen.
How many images we're talking about you've been sent of, like, you know, this child porn? Thousands?
Over the years, yeah.
Probably thousands of images? Okay. And these are with, like, the child porn traders?
Yeah.
Okay. How young were those images? Were some, like, even infants?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been sent infant porn before?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, okay. So you mentioned here in the chats that you put your in a 10-year-old. Okay, was that your sister?
Yes.
Okay, what happened with that?
I did put it in, but no, we didn't have sex.
So where'd you put it in, on your sister? In her. Okay, so it was like... Okay. Yeah. How many times did this happen?
Just three times.
Three times it happened. Was it every single time?
Yes.
How did she react to that?
She was asleep.
She was asleep when it happened? Okay.
Hey, guys.
How's it going, sir? This man right here, he's admitted to talking to a bunch of little girls online, including ones that we were posing as, sending pictures to them. And he said on his phone right now, there's hundreds of images of child porn, like, right now.
Okay.
So, Alex, the good news is this guy is going to prison for life, and I think that's well-deserved at this point. He just admitted to raping his own sister.
Yeah, Jeff Short, Decatur, Texas. We caught him in February 2023. His case was originally going to go federal, but after the Trump thing in 2024, when, you know, the Butler PA incident, I guess the FBI, you know, I was told the FBI diverted resources to that. So the case got pushed back down to the state. So he barely got convicted now. But, yeah, he's going to jail for the rest of his life for child pornography, for online solicitation of a minor, and, of course, continuous sexual abuse of a child. And, yeah, I mean, well-deserved. Big shout-out to Wise County and Decatur PD for doing the right thing on this guy. I mean, this guy should never be out again, and they recognize that, too. And we have another pending case in that county as well. Gosh, I'm forgetting his name.
It's,
I think,
a lot.
William Baldwin, I think his name is, or something like that. But he was a former high school coach, and he's facing a very long time in prison as well, because victims came out after our catch about him also.
That's amazing. And that's the best part about all of this, though, Alex, is a lot of victims don't come forward until they see that you guys have caught these people. And I think it gives them an avenue of feeling safer about coming out and making these accusations. A lot of times victims are worried whether or not they're going to be believed or not. And now that you've caught a lot of it, I mean, it definitely helps them. Have you heard about his sister? Is she okay? Is there any update on that? I know it's probably hard to reach out to the victims. You can't, technically.
Sometimes the victims reach out to us, yeah. And, you know, but we've hardly reach out to them, so I haven't heard anything about his sister, but I hope she is okay.
Yeah, I hope she is okay, too. That's rough, especially for it to be in the public sphere and everyone to find out what actually happened to you.
Right.
But I hope she doesn't remember any of it. I want to turn to another catch that you guys did, because it's also, I mean, you do incredible work, Alex, over at Predator Poachers. You guys are doing great stuff. A sex offender was just recently sentenced to over 50 years for proposing sex acts and with an 11-year-old, so it's obviously gut-wrenching. This was based in Virginia Beach. Was this a controversial one in Virginia Beach? I know you've had a couple in the Virginia area, I think.
Yeah, so this was our second bust in Virginia Beach that happened in September 2024, and there was no issues with this one. That's why I was so shocked that, yeah, like, there was an issue on the recent one, because, yeah, like, they just did this to this guy. Now they're, you know, so, no, this one was good. This is Ricky Horton. He's doing 56 years in prison now. He's a multi-time sex offender, and we caught him with lots of child pornography, trying to meet our 11-year-old decoy, and Virginia Beach threw the book at him, so, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember we were calling Virginia Beach when you had a problem. I don't think they arrested. Was it the last one? Like, I was called, because I do so many calls. I'm like,
yeah.
I never know which one it is. I think this one, they didn't, not this case specifically, but there was another case earlier this year where they didn't arrest the perp after they even had child pornography on their device. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we had another guy this year in Virginia Beach, Mejul Butler, and he is arrested now, but, you know, we had the gynocracy come out on this catch, all just female cops that were just like, I don't know if they just didn't want to arrest a black guy. I really don't know what it was. But he admitted to producing child pornography of a 6-year-old victim, and he had it on his phone. And he was just about to pull it out and show it to me. And I was like, well, don't show me that. But he confirmed he had it on his phone. And he admitted to the cops. We had the clip of him admitting it to us, showing it to the cops. And they didn't even do as much as seize his phone that night. So we had to go on and just do a massive, like, you know, outcry, Order 66 about this, which is like when we bombard a PD or a place, you know, with calls to, you know, do the right thing. And a few days later, they did arrest him, luckily, so he's facing a very long time in prison as well.
Well, that's the good news. And it's also good, I have to say, Alex, you're able to somehow get these pedophiles to admit whether they have porn on their devices or whether they've sexually assaulted a family member. You're able to get them to admit that. That's really hard to do, something that law enforcement can't even do. So I would think that law enforcement would welcome you and your fellow predator poachers forward. How are you able to get them to admit this? Because you just kind of come off very casual, and they just spill the beans on everything.
Well, a lot of them do, but I don't know, man. Maybe it's, I don't know. You just got to sound believable, and you got to sound like you're actually on their side. But, you know, it just takes practice. But
you hold a straight face. I don't know how you do it. I always watch your videos. I'm always quite impressed with you, my friend. I wanted to turn to something else, though, away from the predator poaching. I wanted to shift things over to specifically what we have going on in this country right now. People are outraged that there might be a possible shutdown of the welfare benefits regarding the SNAP benefits. They keep complaining there's not going to be any food stamps. We're hearing threats from those who are currently receiving those benefits, that they are going to start looting and start robbing stores. What's your takeaway from all of this? I can't believe conservatives are really out here advocating for this.
Yeah, if you go on Twitter and see all this stuff, I'm sure even if you go on Fox News too, I don't really watch them, but if you go on these conservative areas, the conservatives are blaming the Democrats for taking away food stamps, implying the conservatives would like to have food stamps. So I don't know where this whole drain the swamp thing comes from. I don't know where this whole small government thing comes from, because when it really comes to it, I think the reason why we have such a big government is because I think a very small portion of the country actually believes in cutting it. I mean, yes, if you cut down government programs, there is going to be some quote unquote pain and suffering for a short amount of time, but there needs to be a course correction. There's tons of abuse and welfare fraud. I used to work at a pizza place with illegal immigrants, and yeah, those families were on food stamps. And I assume the way they do it is because they have an anchor baby who's a citizen. That kid qualifies for food stamps, and then the whole family gets food stamps, even the illegals. And you don't think that's going on with millions of homes in the country? And of course, people selling their food stamps for cash, selling it for drugs. I'm sorry, the whole thing needs to just go away.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing here. We had a congressman on the show the other day too, and he was also advocating for that, and he was kind of upset that so-called conservatives were pretending like they were on board for food stamps to still be implemented. And they're using it as like a chip as to, oh, look at Democrats getting food stamps pulled away. I would say this is a great way. And I also want to be empathetic for those who are disabled, who can't afford their own food expense and they're unable to work. That's a very rare group that we're talking about here. We're talking about 43 million people on the current SNAP benefits. Not all of them are disabled. Most of them are lazy. Yeah. Most of them don't want to actually go out there and work. They're reproducing just so they can get more benefits. They're not reproducing because they want to start families. And it's just so infuriating to sit back and watch. You know, conservatives pretend to be conservative, but then they use this as a little chip to put out there, and as if we're all on board for food stamps. I think this is a great way to purge the system.
Yeah, you know what? Conservatives' whole argument is basically saying, no, we're the real Lyndon Johnson. We're the real Democrats. Like, as an argument to just beat the Democrats. It's so sickening. It's like when conservatives would argue that, well, you know, Israel is actually pro-LGBT and Palestine. So I was like, okay, argue for other reasons, but like, don't out-left the left to own the libs. I mean, it's so stupid. It's a cycle they fall into all the time.
It's a losing strategy. And as we head into midterms, we're going to see that it is a losing strategy, I think, because I think that they think, well, this is what they do. I mean, even in New York City right now, we have Zohran Mamdani, who we're going to talk about a little bit more with the congressman, but we have Zohran Mamdani running for mayor, and a lot of Republicans have been silent on the issue for months now, but they've been silent on it because they think, well, I mean, when it gets really, really bad, then they'll just vote for Republicans. And it's like, what a losing strategy that you have, that you just want things in this country to get awful so that there's no other priority to vote for, and so people vote for you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't think Cuomo would be much better than Zohran, but it is pretty disappointing that someone named Zohran would be running the biggest city in the country. I mean, that's just a demoralizing thing to see. But, you know, I don't think Republicans should cuck out. I think they should vote for Curtis. I mean, screw Cuomo, man. But I think he's going to win no matter what Zohran is.
Yeah, and that's a thing, too. New York, they have two communists on the ballot. Between Cuomo and then one that's a little worse than Cuomo, which is obviously Zohran Mamdani. So it's really kind of just a depressing thing going on right now in New York. The city that I once loved and would work in and built my career in is completely gone. And it's sad to sit on the sidelines and watch. But for now, we could you know, focus on the positive, and you're doing great work, my friend. So we want to thank you for all the incredible work you're doing over at Predator Poachers. Guys, if you're at home right now and you're looking to support, the best way to do so is to head on over to their Twitter page. You also have other, just go to predatorpoachers.com as well, but subscribe. I mean, that's the only reason why Alex Rosen's able to do all of this. So head on over, subscribe, so you can keep Predator Poachers out there poaching these scumbags from our streets. Alex, thank you for being here today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
And he came here in studio, which we love and we appreciate so very much. So thank you. Folks, I want to remind you all, we just launched the Android version of the new app. Head on over right now to the alexjonesapp.com. Make sure you download it. When you do, it's going to be incredible because you guys are also going to get 20% off exclusively for just downloading the app that you could use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And we just launched today Methylene Red. It's great to pair up with your Methylene Blue as well. Head on over to the shop. Grab yourself some right now. We don't know how much longer it's going to last. We just launched it now. I'm sure it's going to be a top seller, of course. So make sure you do just that. Now, also in the next part of the show, we do have Congressman Andy Ogles jumping on with us. Now, this is going to be a great one because Ogles is advocating for Zohran Mamdani to get his citizenship revoked. Now, he was given citizenship back in 2018. I've reached out to my sources. I just heard back a couple of minutes ago from them to see how realistic is this that we could actually do that. Well, they're letting me know. So I'm looking forward to having the congressman on because I don't like it when politicians oversell you on things. But it sounds like Ogles has a plan in place and has actually found some legal things here. So we'll have him on to discuss just that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
I've been told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine. It's super nutrients. It's growth factor. It's anti-cancer. It's everything. Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation, metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum. The first run sold out quick. Back in stock. And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality, the AlexJonesStore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements. The Methylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at the AlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. Last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Spike Protein Detox, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theelfishore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
I don't ever do testimonials, but I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of a mammal's milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... She came on the show like 6 months ago. She said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bounced off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you portion this
time? Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking,
sure,
about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty claims. Love you, Charlotte.
The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on in the world, a lot we're sounding off on. We're going to have to be joined by Congressman Andy Ogles in just a few moments. Now, he is specifically asking for the federal government to revoke the citizenship of Zohran Mahdani. So it's going to be pretty amazing to have him on in just a few moments. We were told he's going to be calling into the show via Zoom in just a few moments. So bear with us. But let me give you some overview because we're learning more about Zohran Mahdani. And I've tried 4 months now to warn the American public about him. But sadly, as we get closer and closer to this election, more is coming out about him. He is being funded, allegedly, of course, by George Soros and Islamists. That's according to a news Fox News report that outlines specifically the groups that are funding him. Now, he's been accused in the past of taking funding from places he shouldn't be taking funding from. And he's obviously radical. I mean, folks, I told you he is a communist. Continue to say socialist. He is a communist, folks. Don't let these little titles fool you. This is a communist who hates America, who became a U.S. citizen back in 2018, but apparently was plotting to become New York City mayor back in 2014, and according to his own director of his campaign. We'll play that soundbite for you again in just a few moments when we have the congressman on. But this has been well orchestrated. Okay, they have been trying their very best to put people in these positions because, well, they hate this country. And they're aggressively trying to destroy it. They're destroying it through our own failed immigration system. And now all these radical socialists, Islamists, have poured money into his campaign. Even TikTok is intentionally manipulating their algorithm to promote his content. And they're doing that at the expense of Andrew Cuomo, who apparently is not getting the best content promoted within the algorithm. Again, that's expected. They are two communists, but he's obviously worse. He's here not because he loves this country and he wants to save this country. He wants to destroy this country. But sadly, New York City voters aren't very intelligent and they love the incentive of free, free, free. And so Zohran Mahdani has fed into that. And sadly, New York City is about to be taken over by communists. Now, again, my real concern in all of this, and always has been, is will Zohran Mahdani have access to the NYPD counterterrorism database? Now, that is deeply concerning. That is a national security issue. And again, as someone who is a foreigner, I am seriously concerned about that. So when the congressman joins us, we will have him on to discuss that. But there's a couple of other stories I want to make sure we got to. Of course, we could go with some better news right now. Mortgage rates have dropped to the lowest so far this year. Just recently, the average 30-year fixed rate falls to 6.1%. Now, that's, of course, because the Fed was bullied in to dropping their rates just a little bit. Not enough, though, of course. President Trump making that a top priority for him. Experts forecast 15% surge in the fourth quarter of home sales, though the inventory, they're saying, is very low in places like Texas and Florida. They still have a stronghold. The Trump administration credits the deregulation to all of this, so they're claiming a victory lap. But again, this is quite interesting, I must say. So we've been watching this as it's been developing. I have been advocating for lower interest rates because folks, some of us out there really want to buy a home. We want to pay a reasonable rate for it. All right, let's give you an update on that story we told you about. We've been following this because Nicolas Maduro, who is the leader of Venezuela right now, he has a lot of critics these days. The Trump administration is one of them. They've obviously placed a bounty on his head. They've accused him of being a drug lord. They have gone after him with all force, and they're ramping up their attacks, according to several reports. Well, Nicolas Maduro, his regime, is saying that Venezuela captured, we covered this yesterday, mercenaries who they believe has ties to the CIA. They believe that they were there, that they were probably going to attack. But we're learning more and more information about this. Now, obviously, guys, there's a lot to understand about all of this. We have not yet heard from our own government in regards to this. But I guess there's a lot of natural resources in Venezuela, so that would make it very desirable. Now, again, we're hoping that's not the case. But obviously, President Trump ramping up his attacks. And there are drugs coming from Venezuela, don't get me wrong. I'm just very curious as to why we're so focused on Venezuela. There are several countries in the region that we probably should be looking at as well. But we've got our eyes glued to Venezuela. Now, again, we've reported that the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, announced that they have been continuing to strike these vessels that are coming to the United States, they allege, that are stacked and stocked with drugs. And we just learned that there are about 14 people that they allege were killed just yesterday. Four vessels striked yesterday. Again, they're claiming there's drugs in there. We have not yet heard of any accusations disputing those claims. I know a lot of people at home are a little worried about that. How do we know we're getting it right? But so far, that's what's going on right now. Now, I know yesterday, too, one of the callers, I think it was Savage Dog, was floating the idea of fentanyl sharks. So all of these drugs are now getting into the water. It's kind of concerning from an environmentalist standpoint. Now, I'm no environmentalist, of course, but something worth thinking about. I mean, what happens after you strike these boats? Yes, it's a lot of fentanyl rushing up the shores. Folks, I want to also talk about some of the more good things. Let's talk about some good things. The reunion of President Donald Trump and Elon Musk. The two, obviously, were seen at Charlie Kirk's services reuniting, something that Charlie Kirk wanted. The rest of us wanted this as well. A feud between the two most powerful men in the world was never a good look for anyone. But I want to play clip 11 for you, because in clip 11, well, Trump tells you how he really feels about his billionaire friend. Take a listen.
How is your relationship with Elon these days? And is there
I think it's good. I mean, you saw that during Charlie's beautiful tribute. Elon came up. It's good with Elon. I like Elon. I've always liked Elon. Elon's good.
Have you talked to him since the memorial?
On and off a little bit. Yeah, very little. Nothing much. Look, he's a nice guy. And he's a very capable guy. I've always liked him. He had a bad spell. He had a bad period. He had a bad moment. It was a stupid moment in his life. Very stupid. I'm sure he'd tell you that. But I like Elon, and I suspect I'll always like him.
So that's the good news. The pair seem to be getting back together. This is something that we've all wanted. We didn't want any beef between the President of the United States and Elon Musk. Those two, say it, are a power couple. I'm sure they're not going to be happy with that, though. But it was great to see them get together, and the left hated it. I mean, they hated it because they knew when these two got together that they were going to defeat the globalists who were trying to destroy this country, this great country. And so it's good to see them, you know, getting along, I'll say. Folks, I want to go back to that AutoPen report that we brought to you earlier in the show. Now, again, this was just recently released, so we're trying to, you know, go through it all. And it's interesting because Joe Biden's chief of staff, when he spoke with the committee, said, well, when he's asked this question, do you know who the people who were actually, people or person, using and operating the auto pen? And he claimed he did not know. Did not know. Now, some people, according to reports, made a lot of money selling pardons that Biden had no idea about. Interesting. Now, again, none of it's surprising. None of it's like earth shattering. We didn't come into this show with breaking news because we've been telling you about this for quite some time now. These people have been lying to you in the corporate media. They've been telling you that this wasn't the case. We knew this was the case. We knew this was the case. We knew that Joe Biden was never running any of this. I mean, Joe Biden, auto-panned Joe Biden, literally gave clemency to a Chinese spy who had thousands of child pornographic images on his device. He was in prison serving a term. Actually, the crimes he was accused of were so egregious that law enforcement, Plano PD, actually stopped looking at the child porn after they reached about 1,200 images. The rest of them, they were like, yeah, they're all kids. We don't need to keep looking at this. Well, someone, and I want to know who, someone thought it was good to free that person and then let the CCP take him back. Now, again, I looked at the signature. It appears to be Otto's pen. And what kind of man would sit there and allow that to happen? Who would want their presidency to be of that? Oh, again, by the way, the corporate media didn't tell you that. I did. When I was going through the pardon list and I saw the crimes that he was accused of, looked it up, realized what crimes based on his court records he was accused of that he pleaded out to. And the corporate media just completely looked over it. Didn't want to talk about it. Instead, would rather tell you about the J6 committee's pardons because I guess they don't want to tarnish Joe Biden's reputation by calling him out for what he did. Now, again, I mean, Joe Biden didn't do it. It's very likely, based on just the appearance of that pardon, I've read through it, it looks like it lines up with a auto pen. So who did that? Who decided within the Biden administration to pardon a pedophile and get him out of prison? Now, one of the conditions of his clemency included, get this, he couldn't come back to the United States. So now he's just off, probably protected by the Chinese, and we'll never get him back. There will never be accountability for that. Now, again, he was a college student, in case it sounds familiar, a college student who just happened to have thousands of child pornographic images on his devices. Likely, probably someone who was working for the Chinese government, who may have, and this is why you gotta ask these questions, may have been trying to plant child pornography on people's devices here in the U.S. Otherwise, why would he be here? It's very likely those weren't his images. Otherwise, why would the CCP want him back? Sounds like to me, they'd only bring back one of their own. And again, he was here as a college student. College student. There's no such thing as a college student from China without an alliance to the CCP. It's just like these Chinese companies. So again, nobody wanted to talk about this story. I thought it was a bombshell and I couldn't imagine why the president of the United States would want his legacy to go down like this. But it did. But it did. Somebody behind the scenes made sure to use auto pen and free this monster. All right, folks, we're waiting on Congressman Andy Ogles to give us a ring. He, according to his team, is going to call us in just a moment. But Ogles is fighting the good fight. He is trying his very best, and this is why I want to ask him how realistic it is to get Zohran Mahdani to get a citizenship pulled. Now, I told you back in 2018, he is someone who was granted citizenship. I mean, it's just so gross. Obviously, the vetting was not thorough on this one because he is someone who is closely aligned with the communist movement in this country known as Socialists of America. And so sadly, he was given citizenship. You know, it shouldn't happen. And everyone's kind of, you know, waited a little bit before they started criticizing him. I was very critical of this yesterday. I was very upset because I don't understand. I was trying my best to tell other people, other conservative talking heads to jump on this because we needed to blow the whistle on Zohran Mahdani. His father has strong ties to the communist movement. He has made comments regarding 9/11. He has praised those individuals, those terrorists, as soldiers, according to Ed Wokeness. And here we are now trying to fight this good fight. Now, Congressman Andy Ogles is doing his very best to join us today and to bring us all of this. So we want to welcome to the show Congressman Ogles, because he is doing his very best to get Zohran Mahdani's citizenship pulled. And he joins us now to discuss. Congressman, I want to thank you for being here. I know it's a very, very busy day, so we appreciate you joining us. You are leading the effort to try to get his citizenship yanked, and I think it's rightfully so. This man has strong ties to the communist movement that he did not disclose when trying to become a U.S. citizen. What's your current status on all of that? Because obviously this is something that the American people who are just learning about Zohran Mahdani really do want.
Yeah, I mean, when you, so he was naturalized back in 2018. And, you know, when you look at the kind of the N-400, the naturalization forms, there are boxes on there that you have to check, that you have to disclose your affiliations with communist anti-American organizations. And he literally lied and concealed information on his forms that, quite frankly, should have made him ineligible to become a United States citizen. And so with that, the DOJ, so back in June, I sounded the alarm. We re-sent a letter to the Department of Justice to look at this before it's too late. I mean, look, if, you know, free grocery stores, free this, free that, you know, tax the rich, what's going to happen? And he is going to gut the city of New York. And there was a movie back in the day, you know, Escape from New York. That's about to happen if, Mamdani, becomes, the mayor. And so I've been sounding the alarm, trying to get him, reviewed by the Department of Justice to ultimately have his citizenship revoked and send him back to Uganda, because quite frankly, I believe he's a sleeper agent who is here to undermine our country.
Yeah, and I think this is really important. I've actually reached out to USCIS, and I've been asking these questions if they've begun looking into this, because I was told through the process of all of this, that they'd be the first ones to look into it, and they forwarded it over to the DOJ. I don't know if that's even happened thus far, but again, I mean, this was back in June when you started this up. We've been talking about this for a while now, and I know many have tried flagging this for the administration, so we do hope that this isn't just the starting point for them, that they have been looking into this. But this is deeply concerning, because according to my sources, Zoran Mamdani would have access to the NYPD's counterterrorism database. Mm-hmm. And that's really concerning from a national security standpoint. Do you share those same concerns?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, New York obviously is an economic center for our country. Obviously, they have a very advanced anti-terrorist capabilities in the city of New York. And then quite frankly, I think it underscores the fact that, you know, we need to go back through our naturalization process. And there's, my guess, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of individuals who should be denaturalized and deported from this country because they were sent here to undermine our country. And so, you know, you have countries in Europe who have embraced these types of radicals. It's not working out so well for parts of Europe. It's not working out well for Sweden. And so enough is enough. I've sounded the alarm. We've got the data. We conducted our own investigation. The facts are there. He should not be a United States citizen.
Yeah, and Congressman Ogles, we appreciate you doing that, because I think that's really important. Not many people want to step up to the plate and take on this fight because they're afraid of being called a name. And the reality of it is, you know, we just had a woman from the UK who's a sexual assault survivor from a Pakistani gang, and they did assault her and others. And although her predators have now been sentenced to 35 years in prison, this is our future, because we've allowed a lot of these people to come into our country as well, unvetted. And she described it too. You know, our politicians over there, she was saying, are just afraid to be called a name, and they're afraid of the pushback that comes of all of this. But like you just outlined, this has been a plan for a while now. You know, the great work over at Steven Crowder's Mug Club Undercover highlights just that. They actually got, just recently, I believe this was like 2 weeks ago, they got this incredible undercover footage of one of Zoran Mamdani's campaign directors ultimately admitting that this isn't just a random person who just popped up and is now running for mayor, that this has actually been in the works before he was a U.S. citizen. Back in 2014, when they were just plotting all of this, take a listen to clip 14, because it's really telling.
It's not like this, ooh, this just came out of nowhere. Like, not at all. Like, this has been a coordinated, like, organizing effort for, like, since 2014.
Okay, so Congressman, obviously he's outlining it for you there, that this has been a well-orchestrated effort. It's not just Zoran Mamdani. There are other people who come to this country, run for office, and they do win. And, you know, I know a lot of people have accused them of working for foreign governments. They openly don't even have an alliance to the United States. How do we fix this issue on a federal level?
Well, again, we have to tighten down our naturalization process. We have to end the idea of anchor babies. And we have to acknowledge the fact this is our country. We get to decide who comes in. We also get to decide who has to leave. And I think Mamdani should have to leave. And again, we have the records to show that he did not disclose his affiliations with the Democratic Socialists of America. It's a communist, Marxist type organization, very anti-American. And look, you know, don't believe, you don't have to believe my comments, or if you think it's political rhetoric, look look at Sweden. You look at the immigration population is what, you know, roughly 10% or so. And yet 80 or so percent of the violent attacks are committed by that very demographic. And so we've allowed our cities to be flooded. We've allowed our cities to be, quite frankly, invaded by these Marxists from Africa and hostile parts of the world who don't love this country. They don't have an affiliation to this country. And look, when you look at the melting pot that the United States was during the Greatest Generation, World War I, World War II, and subsequently, those folks came here and wanted to start a life. They wanted to be an American. They came by boat. They passed the Statue of Liberty, and they were in awe and immediately in love with this country. People like Mamdani do not love this country. They want to undermine this country. They're here to represent their values and their people and their countries, not the United States. I get attacked for being vocal, but that's okay. That's why I signed up for this job. And I'm not going to be quiet while the cities of America are overrun by these Muslim Marxists.
Yeah, and we're thankful for that. You know, I live in Plano, Texas, and I've talked about this openly. And Plano, Texas is dealing with EPIC, which is the East Islamic Plano Center, the Islamic Center. And right now they have a massive issue that everyone has kind of looked the other way on. You know, thankfully Ken Paxton jumping on this. But when you're driving up and down the streets there, I mean, they've literally named the streets, thanks to the great reporting over at Rare Foundation, who did digging into all of this, they're named after Islamic conquerors. I mean, it's right in front of our faces, and sadly, most people are just too afraid to take on this fight. So we're thankful that you are, Congressman. Before you go, I want to get your take, though. Obviously, since the federal government's still shut down, those who are members of our services are very concerned about this. I wanted to play clip 13 for you because it's about Speaker Mike Johnson, who is very, very upset about all of this and how the left is continuing to push their Marxist agenda into all of this. Take a listen.
There has to be a pre-existing appropriation for the contingency fund to be used, and Democrats blocked that appropriation when they rejected the clean continuing resolution. So the way to make this stop immediately is for, we just need a handful, we need five more Democrats in the Senate to do the right thing, wake up and say, I'm going to say no to the Marxist far left pressure, and I'm going to do what's right by the people, the 42 million Americans in this country who rely upon this essential nutrition assistance. Am I going to starve my constituents, or am I going to appease the Marxists? That is their actual calculation, whether they say all of that out loud or not. Everybody in this room knows exactly what's going on, and it's so infuriating to us. The best way for SNAP benefits to be paid on time is for the Democrats to end their shutdown, and that could happen right now if they would show some spine.
Congressman, I want to get some kind of inside baseball on all of this. Is it true? I mean, are Democrats really holding out for illegal aliens to be paid through our health care system? And is that the reason why they're really holding all of this up right now?
Absolutely. We literally just had a call with the speaker just a few moments ago. And so there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. But that being said, that's the choice the Democrats are making. They want to get 2.5 million illegal immigrants on health care, back on health care. And they're choosing illegals over our troops. They're choosing illegals, quite frankly, over our rural hospitals. One of the things they want to do is gut some funding for rural hospitals and, again, give it to illegal immigrants in these big blue cities. And so Republicans were holding the line. We passed a clean CR in the House of Representatives. We're back in our districts. We're doing our jobs. I mean, I was at an event last night and doing media today. And so we're out here working, trying to represent the constituents. Meanwhile, the Democrats are playing games and holding the country hostage. Literally, you have widows and orphans. You have our troops that aren't going to get paid, aren't going to get benefits because Democrats are siding with illegal immigrants, individuals who shouldn't be here to begin with. We were flooded. Our nation was flooded under Joe Biden. President Trump has secured our border. We have deportations in droves. And just in Memphis, where the president's initiatives are securing our cities, we had 81 children, missing children, who were rescued just in the city of Memphis alone. We're turning the tide on crime. We're trying to save our republic. Meanwhile, the Democrats are playing games. Meanwhile, the Democrats are siding with illegals who are here in violation of our nation's laws.
Yeah, and it's time for mass deportations. I know the president's making that a top priority. Congressman Ogles, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your insight, and thank you for taking on this fight. I know it's not an easy one, but we're thankful that you're doing just that. Thank you so much, Congressman, for being here.
Thank you.
All right, folks, as we continue to cover all of this, we're going to continue to cover it tomorrow as well. Regarding the shutdown, a lot more happening. A lot's going to be happening over, well, throughout the day. So you're going to want to be here. We're working on a great guest lineup for all of you, of course. I want to remind you, though, just in case those front doors lock, you got to head on over and make sure you stay in touch with us by downloading the app. If you haven't done so already, head on over alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. We just launched last week the Android version, so you're going to want to get this right now. Okay, so head on over, do that. When you do, you get 20% off to use over exclusively over at the shop. And there's so much to get. I mean, we just launched the methylene red. So it's great to pair up with your blue, of course. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Take a look at that. It is great. It's going to do well for you if you're someone who needs a little, you know, brain power. We all do these days, especially me, since I'm up early, anywhere from like 3 a.m. So this is something I'm going to be adding to my routine. And if you want to do so as well, we just launched it over at the alexjonesstore.com. So grab yourself some methylene red today. All right, that does it for me on this beautiful, beautiful day. I've got a lot going on, though. I'll be making some phone calls. I got to follow up with DHS on a couple of things and so many stories that we're working on. So we look forward to seeing you here again tomorrow. But in the meantime, the Alex Jones Show is next. So do not go anywhere. There's more truth to expose.
I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50 however many years, and my hair is much thicker than it has been, and I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker, and this is brand new
and darker. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. Last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner.
You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theultrashore.com, and I'm serious. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Tell us what happened.
I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50 however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker. Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. Get your bovine colostrum back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. And it funds the second American revolution worldwide.